Almost.
I knew I forgot to push a button. So the audio chat is just audio listeners gonna be like.
So sorry audio only listeners. Jay forgot to hit the record button, but
only for like the first 3 seconds of the
only
song.
Only for the first 3 seconds.
It's funny because you saw me, right? I was like click click.
I know, I was watching. They'll see it in the video. I was all like do.
That's the button. That's what happens when you're a slacker.
I wanted to point it out earlier, but like I didn't want to be like that guy that just honks immediately when the light turns green.
Green.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the time when I was a FedEx driver? Mm-hmm. I got this like little old lady to just like flip me off and be like, "What the f is wrong with you?" I had my manifest was a paper manifest. We're talking like back in the mid-2000s, right? I had a clipboard that had all my stops on it. And I would just kind of check them off and highlight and make notes as I was going of stuff I had to go back to or whatever. But I had a habit of like leaning it on my gut against the steering wheel. But as I was coming to a red light, a four-way stop with a stop sign.
Yeah.
In like a trailer park community, like a old retirement thing, whatever. It got wedged between my stomach and the horn. So as I was pulling to the intersection, she like had started already going. So she stopped and was like,
yeah, like
and she was like,
yeah.
I was like, sorry. I rolled down the window and she was like, what's your problem? I was like, my horn got stuck. And she was like, oh, have a nice day. She like drove away. I'm like, dang, I got grandma to freaking four letters.
So funny. Oof.
Anyway, welcome back to RTFM show, guys, where it stands for Read the Freaking Manual. We've been off for a few weeks. And unfortunately, I'm not going to say unfortunately. On May 22nd of this month, I'm having a surgery, which I should by that Friday be good to at least come sit down and do the show. If not, I want you two to do the show. And I'll still like either be in the room or help getting it going or whatever. I don't know what my energy level will be like, I do not think we should stop the show for that. In fact, a lot of people have like really requested when Jay's out, continue the show.
Yeah. Because they seem to kind of be digging like our Me and Nick independent videos too. Like,
the only scary part is the fact that like you have access to everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, especially if I'm nearby, I don't think it would be that much of a problem.
Yeah.
Too bad I can't like remote director.
I know, right? Yeah, that'd be sick. Like, like an actual TV show with the freaking like the director's command center and everything.
Yeah. So I think we have a pretty interesting show lined up today, because of the fact that if you guys haven't seen by the title, of course, we're going to talk about the latest law in Utah. And it's not a political discussion, as I saw some folks already talking. We're talking about laws. We're just talking about the idea of should the internet should be regulated to a degree, but at what point is it safety versus overreach?
Do you want to just jump into it?
We will in a minute because we need to talk about the box on the table.
Oh, yeah. We do need to talk about the box on the table because I'm excited.
You pushed it toward, like hanging over the hole.
Oh.
We'd talk about it. Just broken.
I forgot the table had a hole in it.
This is my Dalmore 12. I actually got for my birthday a couple of years back. It's funny because at the time I received this as a gift, I was under the assumption that I hated scotch, all scotches, right? I like whiskeys, but I didn't like scotch whiskeys. And I learned after going on like some whiskey tasting tour stuff on cruise ship a while back that it's not scotch I don't like. It's Lowlands scotch that I don't like. Because, you know, in Scotland, there's the Highlands and the Lowlands. Highlands scotch, I'm a huge fan of. Now, on that ship, I had a 1 ounce pour of Dalmore 35, which was a $550 ounce pour, $550 per ounce. The bottle, the cheapest I could find it for was like $7,000. And I'm like, there is absolutely no liquid on this planet that I love enough for anyone, whether it be myself or a gift, to provide for me. But what I did find in the cabinet the other day, which I was like, oh, I've got something from Dalmore. I totally forgot. It's a Dalmore 12, which is a 12-year aged Highland Scotch. So I was talking about this with Phil and Nick the other day. And I said, I'm going to bring this in for the RTFM show. That way you guys can also experience the amazingness that is the Dalmore 12. I feel like this, it's a huge diminishing return Phil, I told you that was full when I started this few minutes.
Dang!
But that didn't even really affect me because I had so much alcohol that week on that cruise last week.
Yeah, your tolerance
last week?
Up.
Yeah, then my tolerance was up. But anyway, this is what, we talked about this before. It's diminishing returns where the difference between like the 12, there's a 12 and 18 and then like or 12 and 22. 235, whatever. I feel like this is like 95% of the experience of the 35.
Yeah.
Personally.
It's like getting a 3080 Ti instead of a 3090 Ti.
And guess what? You can get it for $70 a bottle.
Exactly.
And the bottle's pretty, look.
Yeah.
So anyway, Before we get, you guys know this is a drinking show. So if you guys are partaking with us, then put in the chat what it is you guys are enjoying. You guys know I'm a whiskey fan. So I would like you to, uncork that and take a smell. Normally I don't like scotch because they're very peaty, but yeah. This is not.
Yeah, I was looking up right now what region my favorite, which is Glenlivet, comes from, mm-hmm. and it's Bayside, which is right there in the Highlands.
In the Highlands, yeah.
So I think you and I have similar mm-hmm. tastes.
It's a cork.
I love that sound. Oh yeah, no, I'm in love.
Now you're not a whole lot of like a bourbon whiskey / scotch person. Like you've tasted them, but you've never. Phil Scher.
Dude, I want an air freshener.
It's aerating.
I want an air freshener of that.
Yo, okay.
Oh, it's
so good. As the host, I shall pour and provide for you gentlemen.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is huge. I fell heavily in love with the Dalmore. I keep saying the Dalmore because this was called the Dalmore, not Dalmore. And it's super yeah,
all the pretentious whiskeys are like it's like the Glenlivet, the Dalmore.
I know. Anyway, I think Carnosaurus?
Carnosaurus? Carnosada?
Who's got Carnosada. The thing?
Oh yeah. Here.
So, I think people who know probably either love or hate. Dang, I need another bottle already.
There you go. Oh, you spilled some.
Let's put it on the front right there. Okay.
Can't waste it.
Stop licking the neck.
I didn't. Watch I decided to use my it. Finger. Okay.
Anyway, way to cap off the week. So, yeah.
Cheers
to the audience. To us. All right, I will partake after you guys because I'm curious as to your reactions. For a room temp neat scotch, it is so smooth, right?
That's great.
That's that's really smooth.
I have a new.
I was expecting more of a kick.
Mm-mm. It's awesome. The flavor, you can taste the barrel. It's got so many notes. It's like a symphony in my mouth.
It's like a slightly rounder, sweeter Glenlivet.
It's very round.
Yeah.
And round means the flavors come on smooth. They don't just like punch you.
Yeah, it's not like Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels is like
Daniels.
Jack Daniels to me tastes like it's like a brick hitting you. like the edge of a brick.
So in that whiskey tasting, I made a comment once. Because people with all kinds of opinions and tastes and stuff, right? And I made a comment once. Someone had talked about like Jack Daniels. I was like, yeah, I grew up. I stopped drinking Jack Daniels when I grew up, and they were like, oh, that's fighting words. I was like, yeah. You know, Jack Daniels when I was 21 and had no money was perfect, but I like whiskeys that actually have flavor.
I don't even really hate Jack Daniels. It was just that was the one alcohol that I happened to have that one experience with. You know, everyone always has that one time, and then they just will never drink that one again. And for me, it happened to be Jack Daniels.
David Prude in chat says, I want more Nick realizing he's becoming Jay videos.
Oh, yeah?
I watched his review.
Wait, no, that was me, because I said I digress on accident.
I think they're mixing it up because...
Yeah, I remember you saying that, because I watched your video... Yeah. And I only watched.
Nick were cracking up because I was like, no, it's happening.
I watched like the first 5 minutes of yours because it was a 13-minute video, but I saw like the first five.
Okay.
I got more view minutes than you did.
No, you guys did good. In fact, you guys are going to see more Phil and Nick because I have more trips this year that I've got to take, a few business, a few personal. And like I said, with my surgery recovery, they are both going to be taking the helm. And we've got a fun video we talked about today that you're going to do. Graphics related stuff.
I was like, what?
A deep dive on some tech, which I think will be highly interesting if you kind of plan that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. I don't know. I think we should just kind of jump right into it.
Yeah.
Number one. So it always starts from the audience right to left.
So my topic for today is pretty easy. It's going to be just, what do you guys consider clickbait? Because we were talking about this
number
earlier.
Five will shock you.
Yeah.
I guess that's mild clickbait too. But yeah, we were talking about like you had changed the title on a video or something, and then
title changing as in the first 24 hours is a very necessary thing.
Yeah,
it's a very necessary thing. Unfortunately,
I'm sure you guys have seen like when some other creators and stuff will post the view count graph, and you can tell the moment they retitled the video because it'll be like
some folks will go as far as changing the whole thumbnail with it.
Yeah.
I don't, unless I just didn't like the thumbnail later. I'm like, oh, I didn't like that. But retitling is definitely, it's an art. Yeah. Let's face it. All of our channels are competing for views. And people have short attention spans and they're scrolling by. So it's like, what can we do to get people to watch the channel? Now, for me, clickbait means I used a method of getting you to click on something that has nothing to do with what the body of the subject was about.
Yeah, that's always been my like where I draw the line to, where it's like
clickbait doesn't mean I did something that incentivized you to click on it. clickbait means I got you to click on it thinking it was going to be about this.
Yeah.
And it was.
And then it's a bait
completely
and switch.
Freaking yeah. different. So, like, for instance, I saw some comments because I retitled the video, the old school video. I'll give you guys some data. The 10-year-old computer, yeah. That video live went live yesterday. Some data here. Before I went to bed, that video had 64,000 views in like 3 hours or something, which is kind of like below average for the channel. And I looked, and the creator app always gives you a previous 10 videos ranking. How did it rank in the last 10 uploads? And it was number 7 of 10. And I was like, ooh, that's 5 and up, I'm happy with. 7, I'm like, that's not a good trajectory. So I retitled it to "This Computer Shocked the Crap Out of Me," right? Before bed. I woke up in the morning, it was number 2 of 10. Only behind the Dear PC Industry, which again is not clickbait because that was like an open letter to the PC industry, which is very much what the video was about.
Yeah.
It was number 2 of 10 overnight. And that was just international viewers for the most part because the US was already in bed. So it shows how much the title matters. But there were folks calling it clickbait because they were like, oh, I thought the computer physically shocked him. Like it shocked me, like zap, right? And what did you said something that I'm going to go ahead and quote. You're like, clickbait doesn't, yeah, what did you say? Something about stupid.
No, I was like, it's not clickbait if you're dumb. like that was exactly what I said. I'll say it again. Like, it's just because you did not understand the title and that there could be more than one meaning of shock doesn't mean that it's automatically clickbait.
What does clickbait mean to you, Nick?
Honestly, it's probably like if it's like the bait and switch thing. It says one thing, but you get a completely different thing.
We've all seen it on YouTube, right? There's some super clickbaity title, which I can't even think of, but yeah. It's a thumbnail of like cleavage.
Yeah. Somebody had mentioned that chat too. They were like, dude, back in like 07, 08, it was just cleavage with a circle around it and red arrows.
But it not only was that thumbnail not a. So I don't know if people have noticed, all of my thumbnails are screen caps from the video, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not engineered to be a separate thing we've created. It is an altered thumbnail or a screen cap from some frame in the video.
Yeah, how many fail compilation videos have you seen where there's just boobs on the
thumbnail?
Yeah,
boobs.
And then you don't see them in the video.
Yeah.
which is clickbait. Literal actual clickbait.
Let's face it, went looking for the boobs and there were no boobs. Only the ones that clicked on the video were the boobs, right? So it's like,
jeez, you sent out a content.
No, for those that are wondering, for those that are international, like, what are you talking about? Like, a boob is also referred to as like somebody that's not so smart, right? So anyway,
yeah, by old people.
But would you say, okay, let's talk about the tightrope that is clickbait.
Yeah, because I think I like how you mentioned, like, number 5 will shock you, because that's not factually incorrect. Like, a number 5 is in the
problem listicle. The problem is, number 5 may not have shocked me.
Yeah.
So if it
you're
didn't,
right.
is
yeah,
it clickbait?
You're right.
You know, because we have opinions.
So I feel like that should get its own classification of like mild clickbait, where it's like, I mean, it could be factually incorrect, but that's on you. But I don't know. Yeah, it is interesting to me because it's like, I feel like the average is to err on the side of like, oh, this is clickbait even when it's not. You know what I mean? By like a lot of people.
I feel like in terms of the tech viewer, I feel like tech viewers scream clickbait more than any other genre, personally. But I feel like if the title isn't 4770K with 2080 Ti benchmarked on Cyberpunk versus 3050. Like if it didn't say that, it's clickbait. But, you know, clickbait wouldn't be necessary if people watch the channels they subscribe to.
Yeah.
I'm guilty because I do not watch the channels I'm subscribed to all the time every day. I go through waves where I'm like, I may not watch a channel for a month or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might binge that channel. I might decide, oh, I don't watch a channel anymore. And then I unsubscribe. You know, so what does it take to get your attention to click on something? Well, you've got a thumbnail that's super tiny with a bunch of other thumbnails and it's got to grab your attention.
Yeah, along with the title too, because right there with the next, the rest of the other titles.
Like you talked about it yourself, because you did the titling and all that stuff of the videos that went live while I was gone.
Yeah.
And you were like, dude, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because you start to think to yourself like, okay, the way I do it is I'll write a title that's very like direct, like the one I just used as an example that would be a terrible title in terms of getting views.
Yeah.
Right. I will then, and you've seen me do this, I will then type out a title that is 1,000% ridiculous clickbait. And we'll look at it and we'll laugh, ha, 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 ha. And then I try and like...
Yeah,
you zero it into the middle somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I mean by the 1 foot over the clickbait line is like the title could be somewhat open-ended. Be like, I'm not 100% sure what this video is about. I have an idea. And the idea of what the video is about is usually pretty indicative in the thumbnail. Mm-hmm. Like the thumbnail on that computer says 10 years old, right? And it points to the CPU. If you saw this computer shock the crap out of me, or you read that, and then you saw the thumbnail of an arrow pointing to a CPU that says 10 years old, and you thought I was physically going to get shocked, like electrocuted by a computer, I can't help, like you said, clickbait. It doesn't mean it's clickbait if you're dumb.
Yeah, maybe they were just craving violence at that time.
Well, yeah, the irony is we did a shock video.
Yeah, wait, that was like one of the first videos.
Super underperformed.
Yeah.
And I had like lightning bolts coming out of my fingers in that thumbnail. Like,
we sort of sacrificed the monitor because that monitor never acted right after that. After we were directly shocking it and stuff.
So I feel like the title has to be something that that intrigues. Mm-hmm. Click intrigue should become a term. Sorry, you were Here, there's one that wasn't used.
Jeez.
Click intrigue.
I mean, like for me, if I'm browsing a YouTube on my computer, I will immediately...
YouTube?
Yeah,
which
if
one?
I'm browsing YouTube, sorry. If I'm browsing from my computer...
Oh, you're browsing YouTube. Kids. You're browsing the YouTube?
If I'm browsing from the computer, I usually just skip the clickbait. Like, as soon as I see a title, like, I don't even bother watching it. But if I'm on my
phone...
What
would be a title that, like...
Yeah, I need to know. Is that in the home recommended for you or something you subscribe to?
In the home.
Okay, so home is just... Home is 100% algorithm-based.
Okay. Yeah.
Based on your watch patterns in history. So that means you've watched stuff that apparently has been clickbaited... Or at least a channel that is known to clickbait. Otherwise, it wouldn't have shown up.
Yeah. But I usually roll over those when I'm on the computer. But when I'm on my phone, I just let it play because it does that preview. You don't have to click on the video.
That's why you keep getting them.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because that counts as watch minutes.
Yeah.
If you're logged in.
You can turn it off, by the way. It's in the settings. Autoplay.
The autoplay?
I don't mind it because it changes my homepage. It's just kind of nice.
I personally hate autoplay. Autoplay automatically shows CC. Right?
I would call it not autoplay. The preview play.
Yeah. That's what you're talking about. It does it on the desktop too, you know. If you hover over it with your mouse. I hate that because sometimes folks will, without even any audio, will let something will start to autoplay or whatever. And they'll just say like, oh, I don't want to watch that video. But they have no idea what it's about. You know what I mean? I personally don't like that feature. And correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that something YouTube copied from Pornhub?
Probably. There's a lot of things.
Maybe.
Like I heard from a friend.
I knew a guy.
I knew a guy that told me that the heat map on the scroll bar now?
Yeah.
Like the scrubber bar? That was totally a feature from the hub.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, out of all three of us, there is none of us that know that for a fact.
Yeah, I cannot confirm.
I don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, no, I knew the heat map got taken. And then
I also don't like the heat map because it incentivizes people to skip to the hotspot.
Yeah, you kind of get like a feedback loop because like people click on the hotspot because they're like, why is there a hotspot here?
So I'm going to give you an example.
It's like the highlights playthrough.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I like InSim's channel, right? InSim is like the premier horror genre game streamer / game reviewer. He's Dutch. His voice is very shrill. But once you get used to it, he's great.
Awesome, yeah.
He's great. He's like the number one guy when it comes to the horror genre. So what he does is he takes his VODs from Twitch and he chops them into a little bit smaller version, not by much. He usually chops out any dead space of when he's switching games or in between lobbies or whatever. And he puts it on YouTube as a VOD, essentially. And that's if he's not doing like patch note breakdowns on games. Anyway, usually the thumbnail is him getting... freaking jump scare blasted out of his mind, right? And the title will usually be something along those lines. Now, the heat map comes in handy when I go into his video, which is 2 hours long, and I want to see the thing.
Yeah.
And you'll get people that are either timestamp it in the comments or the heat map will show it. The thing is, you can turn off the heat map in global settings on the channel.
Oh, it's a per video thing?
Or a
channel thing?
Yeah, you can turn it off. I don't remember if mine is on or off right now, if you want to know the truth. I don't really go in there and mess with those settings very often.
But yeah.
But it comes in handy like in long format if you're looking for a specific thing. But that's when chaptering really comes in handy too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like clickbait is just, there's been times.
It's a word that's thrown around so easily.
Like Steve's been accused of clickbait. And his titles have fucking charts in them.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you right now, it's like Steve is like so overdated in so many things. Like even his titles are data.
And Steve's titles are
and he's been accused of clickbait.
That's the funny thing, because he's a pretty good example of somebody that always just shoots straight with the title, where it's just like, this is what's in the video here. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With like not that much like, you know, wanting to try to be a little bit more sensational to get views, right? But like it's like even the fact that he's been like accused of clickbaiting is ridiculous, because it's like, dude,
yeah, Steve
no,
is
of all people, no.
Steve of all people is not a clickbaiter. I don't think he's even like dipped his toe into the shallow end of getting near the middle line of clickbait.
I treat channels like his and like Buildzoid and stuff like they're almost more like science, like the scientific journals that you have to like get your paper peer reviewed in and stuff. It's like that kind of like, you know, I'm going here for information and information alone. You know, I'm not going here to like watch a water loop explode or something like that, because we do that.
Speaking of which, I was actually thinking earlier, we need to come up with some more stupid experiments. I was going to comment.
Yeah, we haven't done it.
I was going to comment this weekend. I feel like all three of us need to
come up with a dumb idea.
Yeah, but we need to just, I don't know, chug 4 ounces and write. Well, this weekend, dude, you still got to drive home, buddy.
You can start now. For me. It's not like I'm not going to not finish it.
Well, the bottle's right in front of you, too. So, anyway. Don't, you just close to the hole.
I'm going to put it over here.
Anyway.
Don't knock it
it's
over.
It's such a pretty bottle, though.
I know.
Anyway, moving on. No, I don't, for you, whether it's THC or whether you, it's White Claw or mean whiskey. Sorry, he likes White Claw, so I just have to.
It gets the job done.
White Claw's good.
Yeah, 19 of them. You just drink 19 White Claws worth in that half of an ounce.
That's okay.
Anyway. Just get hammered and then come up with an idea of like, hey, because even if it's super ridiculous, it could lead us down the rabbit hole of something that we can explode or do something with. Kind of like Cletus trying to do the 30 days of the Crown Vic running on jack stands, only made it a day before the transmission exploded. Like literally exploded, fire the whole deal.
Somebody was like, Linus has done all the dumb ideas already. No, he didn't put 150 PSI through a water loop. It wasn't even rigid tubes.
It was 135 PSI.
Yeah.
No, it was soft tubes. Remember, they were like...
Yeah.
And then I still can't believe that the reservoir pump combo, like...
Held.
Well, no, it didn't. It exploded in two, but it didn't damage the threads.
Yeah.
That shows how malleable, like, Delrin is, or acetal. Because it had to have deformed the threads enough to let it go. But that is still assembled and has been used in builds since then for like testing purposes.
I think it never leaked.
I
think like from what I know of material science, the metal should not be damaged at all, actually, because since the Delrin is softer, like it's just always going to give.
Well, no, one side's Delrin, one side or acetal, and one side was acrylic.
Remember? Oh, I thought it was metal. I thought the base was metal. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay. So that is one plastic being harder than the other, and then they just kind of
And this the acetal is clearly softer than acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the acetal threads had to have been like kind of like flattening out.
Yeah. If you guys were like audio people are wanting a visual representation, if you guys saw the Mythbusters episode with the exploding water tank that like shot into the air, that's basically
the water heater.
Yeah. The water heater. Yeah. It was like a little cylinder that just shot the rocketed in the air. That was pretty much exactly what happened, except it didn't go as far.
A much smaller version.
Yeah.
And it scared the crap out of me. I was hiding under the table. I remember that. I was terrified because once it started, I'm like, crap, it's under pressure and I can't even release the pressure.
Yeah. I should have had a shot of like my setup too, because I had made like a blast shield of boxes.
Yeah.
And I was like hiding behind it and everything. It was great.
And when it exploded, it scared the crap out of me because the water shot down towards me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And I was in the middle of saying, oh, my God, it's at 130 PSI and it hasn't. Scared the ever-living crap out of me.
Anyway, yeah, we need to blow up more stuff. It'll be fun.
I'm down. I just, it's hard to come up. Those ideas come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Usually by watching clickbait videos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is, you're right. Actually, yeah, it is coming from where you see a clickbait title and you're like, but why didn't they actually do it? Wait, why don't we actually do it? It'll be funny. So yeah, even like the glass break video that we did was.
Do you think we could set a car alternator? Because that's 12 volts, right? Do you think we could set a car alternator up to like an exercise bike that then goes into a
fan controller, like to an
AC converter that then converts into the power supply, which converts back to DC. Can we power a PC with a pedal bike if we gear it right?
Why wouldn't you? I think you would just start with the generator and then hook the generator up.
No,
to
it
the,
has to be ridiculous.
Wait, so you want a double? You want a double inversion? You want to go DC to AC? Actually, no. I guess it would only be one way: DC to AC, because then.
But then the power supply converts back to DC.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right.
And then obviously outputs 12 volts, 5.5, and 3 volts.
An inverter in a car is kind of funny because it's DC to AC to AC to DC.
Usually the problem is the alternator can't, or at least those plugs can't provide enough amps.
Hmm. I feel we should probably get like an electrician to help us out with that.
No.
That takes the fun away.
We will just clear a space of all concrete nearby.
God.
That should be the Electro Boom collab. If we ever collab with them, we need to make a bike powered computer.
Tesla coil powered computer.
The bike powered Tesla coil powered computer.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, that's what it'll take to get me to freaking get back into shape. A pedal powered bike. I mean, wait, computer. You know what I mean?
Dude, no one's thought of that before.
No. Dude, if you want to think about stupid designs, though, think about the first bike. Why was the front wheel so big?
Yeah,
was it a balance?
No, because no gears.
Oh, like, yeah.
You had no gear reduction.
That's right. Yeah. So it had to
be
like...
The gear reduction was just make the wheel big.
Yeah, you had to like hop on the thing like from the back and hope have someone holding it up for you.
I wonder if like the fatality rate of bike accidents back then was higher than today. Because like I feel like they also didn't really have helmets, right? Like they were just
were wearing like three-piece suits.
Yeah.
with the tails like,
and canes.
I mean, because if you broke a rib freaking falling from a regular bike, imagine, you know, like a bike that's like twice as high.
That would be scary. Fly twice as high.
Oh my God.
The Reading Rainbow. Jeez. You know, if you think about the lyrics of the old Reading Rainbow song, it really sounds suggestive of like weed.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everyone was just high that whole era.
I think you'd have to be to create children's content like that. Any children's content, honestly, to be honest. Could you imagine a peek behind the veil on like those kids' channels? Like those adults making children's content?
Yeah, like how much...
We should probably, speaking of children's content and the internet.
This is okay.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm gonna get my question out though. The rhetorical question. How much drugs did the SpongeBob studio?
What is drugs?
Yeah, what is drugs?
I have swag.
Why did you lead police on a high speed chase? Because I'm from Compton and I have swag. Are you on any drugs tonight? What is drugs?
Phil is literally quoting a real... You guys can find this up. Go to YouTube.
Just search
open another
drugs,
tab right now. Go to YouTube. Look up what is drugs, and you'll find this dude that was so cracked out of his mind when the police asked him if he was doing any drugs. He goes, what is drugs? And his eyes are like, bing! And he's like profusely sweating.
I know, dude. Yeah.
And he was like, why did you lead police on a police chase? I'm from Compton and I have swag. go look it up.
Anyway, yeah, I want to know how many drugs the SpongeBob creators were on.
All of them.
Because you have to like imagine looking at a kitchen sponge and being like, hey, what if that was a sea sponge and it could talk and his name was Bob and he had square pants? Like, it's like really different.
And Squirtle.
That's Pokemon.
That's Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Squidward. That's what I'm thinking of.
Squidward.
Oh, yeah, Squidward.
Squidward. I'm Squidward in that story.
Squidward?
Squidward.
Yeah, Squidward.
Oh, I thought you were saying Squigward.
No, yeah. Squidward. Yeah, like the freaking tentacly gross. Yeah. Squidward. I'm Squidward in SpongeBob because he's just pissed all the time.
And he plays clarinet.
The older I got, the more I understood why he was pissed all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's the meme, is that like you grow up thinking you're SpongeBob, but then you actually grow up to be realize you're Squidward. Because you're just like looking at your window like,
first of all,
shut up.
First of all, SpongeBob's after my childhood era.
Yeah.
So like, I never once in my lifetime thought I was
SpongeBob. That's why I pointed to Nick when I said that meme. It's like, yeah, you're, I don't... I don't know what...
Mom, can you pick me up?
Yeah, 2 hours after you get dropped off at a sleepover. Mom, can you come pick me up?
Pick you up.
The party's getting weird.
I wonder how many people... people are saying they found the video, so good.
Somebody said the cast of Saved by the Bell was high all the time, they said, and then there was so much adult time with the... Oh, well, yeah.
That. I was going to say there had to have been adult time with that cast.
Anytime you have like 20s like, old like, things that are all hot, that are all
Beverly Hills 90210, right? That was like a 90s teen drama... there was a word they had for like soap operas for teen operas. I can't remember what they called them, but there was like soap operas.
Yeah, I remember that.
Had Melrose Place and all that crap. I only know that crap because my freaking sister watched all that stuff.
Sure.
Anyway, okay. No, I wasn't a Jason Priestley fan at all.
Looks like somebody is already drunk in chat. Squidward, if my sprite animal.
Like that guy that said, let's oh, yeah, let's oh in chat before it started. He said, let's oh.
Let's F and oh.
Okay, so this particular question was actually one that was sent to the FTFA, which is from the freaking audience email answering section of our show, which I thought was a good enough question to, you know what, let's just have a main topic about it.
And funny enough, we had coincidentally talked about it, but we didn't know that they were connected until...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question was, what do you think about the laws passed in Utah that come into effect on March 1st, 2024? They will require government ID to access social media in Utah. And if you're a minor, you must have parental permission and parents will be given full control over the account. They can read children's DMs, control who they follow, what they can see, etc. And then there's a CNN article too on this. It's funny because we don't talk politics on this show. So it's kind of weird in that it's this sort of a crossover where I want to talk about the law and what it means and how I feel about the law, but I don't even know if Utah's a red state, blue state. I honestly don't know. I do know that there is a huge conflict of interest between separation of church and state that takes place in Utah regarding the LDS church and the legislature in Utah. So I will say that there is a conflict of interest that happens there. So this is kind of a couple things happening here. So I just signed the bill on Thursday. That basically requires minors to obtain consent of a guardian before joining social media platforms, marking the most aggressive step yet for lawmakers to protect kids online. I feel like I have a unique perspective on this because I have an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old. And then I also have a 31-year-old.
and a 34-year-old?
Nick's awfully behind. Oh, what? What I want to say is, like, I feel like there's... So if you read the CNN article regarding this, CNN business article, and I don't care about people's views on particular news outlets and their political affiliations.
Clickbait.
Okay. Try and find the look, go to whatever site I guess you trust. I don't know if you can trust any news articles these days, but just to get some of the details on this. One, questions that come to mind, and let me get all these out before you guys start responding to them. What is considered a social media website? I've had people say YouTube is social media, but it's social media in the aspect that it has a comment section. That would also mean CNN Business is social media because articles have comment sections. So if you are able to, I'm assuming they're talking about like the big tech, like the Twitter and the Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat, Instagram, I already said TikTok. So anything that falls under that. But I guess my question would be, what stops them from just arbitrarily classifying whatever they want as a social media site? YouTube, Vimeo,
yeah, like
Float Plane.
Is Roblox a social media site?
You absolutely.
And like that's the thing, is that it's so weird that how do you, like you said, like how do you...
But I've got more things to get out here before we like try and dive into this one here. First of all, in chat, if you're expecting us to have some sort of profound insights on this, we don't. We're literally just talking out our ass right now about something taking place in the state of Utah, which is an extremely, and I say conservative, not in the political aspect, but in the very reserved LDS type of community. Okay, it really is what it is. So the first state to do this, there's been attempts at the federal level to control social media access. The whole premise behind this is to protect kids from online bullying. They're correlating a rise in suicidal ideology with the mental/emotional trauma that can take place with the internet, and that's very true. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, there's definitely been a correlation between increased suicidal rate with online bullying. Example, you've heard it a million times. A teenage girl makes a mistake, sends nudes, it gets spread around school or whatever. She becomes mortified, literally suicide because of it. So that would be a very big example of social media being used in a way that led to a tragedy. So, moving on here, there's two other states that are working on this right now, which is Connecticut and Ohio. They're working to pass legislation on this. My concerns, first of all, as a parent, that if I go back to the question, I know this seems very discombobulated, but try and follow. He
good
says,
luck, have fun. I'm kidding.
It says, if you're a minor, you must have parental permission and parental permission and parents slash guardians, because it has to be whoever your legal guardian is, will be given full control over these accounts. They can read the children's DMs, control who they follow and what they see, etc. Pause. I do that with my kids now. I don't need the government to tell me, like the government to put that into a law. My kids right now, the internet is a privilege. It is not a right. I absolutely will know who you're talking to. I absolutely will see your DMs. All of, like I say all of, only my oldest has access to social media in terms of like TikTok and all that sort of stuff. They are all in emails that I control. They are email accounts like for registration that I have the password to, that she does not. I see all notifications of DMs. I do take my kid's phone and do a periodic audit. If you think that's invasion of privacy, I don't give a fuck if you want to know the truth. Because I know from my perspective.
Don't do that to your kids then.
I know that from my perspective, what takes place on the internet. I also have no issues with saying, if you have a problem with me reading that stuff, then you don't have access to it. And my kid knows that. What I have with my kid right now is a mutual trust that if she violates that trust, she loses the device. And this has happened multiple times, where the device has been taken for more than a month or two at a time because of the level of trust breaking. All her accounts are locked down. Even her device, she has an iPhone. It has screen time set up where I control the times the device is on. I control the websites it can access. She cannot make contact modifications without my approval. And
app time limits and stuff too, right?
Yes. Yeah. But what I mean is she cannot just randomly add a phone number as a contact and start communicating with someone. I have to be the one to input it or approve it. That is how I'm going to keep my kids safe, by being a parent that's involved in my kid's life. I don't personally believe putting these requirements, quote unquote, on access to social media is going to have an effect on a child's safety online. Let me tell you why. The internet's EULA has been 13 years old for years now, years and years and years. How do you keep a kid from just lying about their age? So you have to submit identification, okay? Most kids don't have identification, so that means you have to have the parent signing up for them. The other prong of the concern about a law like this is now you have people sending in, well, I agree and disagree with this. You have people sending in photos of IDs and stuff. So for instance, when you get verified on Instagram, I'm not going to say Twitter anymore because all I get to do is pay money now on Twitter. To get verified on Instagram, I had to submit a copy of my identification to prove that I'm the owner of that account. It wasn't about proving my age or anything like that. It's about proving I own the account. I've seen people complain, this is invasion of privacy, now leaked information, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? If I'm providing the government with my government-issued ID, or I guess the social media at this point, that information is already out there. Like I'm a cynic in the sense that like no one's information is private as much as they might think they are. I just don't see this being something manageable. I feel like this is a feel-good measure. I feel like this is a measure that's going to look really good on someone's resume saying, look, I was trying really hard to save our kids.
Right.
But I don't see the logistics of this working. It's also why we talked about the fact that Pornhub, which we talked about earlier, has restricted access from IPs coming from Utah in a protest of the Utah law.
Because part of that law was that like porn sites have to government ID verify everyone that goes to them.
And how the heck are you going to do that?
Yeah, exactly. Pornhub was like, dude, there is no way that we can feasibly do this.
Now, isn't even a discussion about your personal beliefs regarding porn. It's just, it's about freedom of access, right? As an adult, you should be able to make that choice no matter what on your own. But the point is Utah is saying, no, it's up to the website to confirm that everyone coming to them is an adult.
They're just passing off the responsibility, basically. Or the state.
Well, do you really want governments controlling the websites themselves?
Well, that's kind of what...
Like having to access the information?
Well, Nick brings up a point of when we were talking about it offline for a little bit where I was like, it seems like a little bit of an overreach to me. And I was like, because it seems like that should just be the parents' job already.
It's an overreach only in the sense that it kind of sets a precedent. of like, what did I say to you? Well, yeah. What do they consider social media?
Yeah.
How, what stops them now from going, okay, if you want access to the internet at all, submit ID.
Yeah.
Mm. It's literally like a show your papers for the internet, you know, Freedom of Information Act and all that, you know, about being able to access documents and stuff for the government and whatnot, which, by the way, I looked into all that for the ASUS stuff, is very expensive, very long, and very difficult. They would do everything they can to make sure that every line except one is redacted for the one that you've asked for. Anyway, moving on, I don't see this being logistically possible for any of these websites to, because most of this stuff is automated. As you know, with YouTube, I feel like this is...
And honestly, from a business perspective, from a website too, they might just do what Pornhub did and be like, okay, well then screw it. 49 state legal.
Which, everything which Utah now, can go which now VPNs are showing they have the highest traffic in Utah.
Yeah. So that's how this topic came up, because I was cracking up when I saw somebody had posted a screenshot of the Google amount of searches for the word VPN in the last 24 hours. And then it was showing like a per state thing. And Utah was just bright blue.
I feel like, look, clickbait, clickbait, clickbait. If I want to make 10 million views right now, it would be how to access Pornhub in Utah. Yeah. That'd be the title.
Sponsored by
IPN.
Insert VPN network.
Our VPN, sponsored by, what is it? PIA. Yeah. Whatever it's called now.
Private Internet.
Whatever it's called now. They probably changed hands times.
How to access, PIA is still my, still just, my VPN.
The title will be How to Access Corn from Utah.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Oh, yeah. can we find a special character that has a backwards P?
Oh, my God.
It's a parking
sign.
Yeah,
probably from the Cyrillic alphabet. Yeah.
The point is, I guarantee that would be a 10 million view video if I was like, how to access Cornhub from Utah 2023. That would be, no, how to access Cornhub from Utah overreach social media internet law 2023.
Yeah. Jeez.
Anyway.
My whole sentiment, even though it's ironic because I don't have any kids, was just like, why is the government parenting the kids? Why aren't the parents parenting the kids? And then
the irony is
that's obviously a much larger.
Depends on what state you're in, because in some states you have them going, we're trying to protect the kids by making the parents have to do everything, which a parent should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
And then you have other states that are like, we're removing the parental control from parents from their kids. That's starting at the age of 12, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, yeah.
Like, the parents can't, like, so I'll put this, this isn't political,
like,
per
it's like they're starting to.
My daughter is 14, right?
Yeah.
My daughter now being over the age of 12 in the state of California, my wife and I do not have access to her medical records anymore unless she gives us consent.
Oh, right.
So, and so because of our medical system that we have, like our doctor's office and stuff all has a portal. Most doctors have a portal now. We were recently just, cause it takes time for all that to catch up once the law happens. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we just got an email saying you no longer have access to your kids' medical records unless they set up a portal account and then grant you access to it.
Right.
So my kid could go to the doctor and get prescribed birth control and we would never know it. Because we have no access to any of it. She doesn't need parental. Like when I was 12 years old, I couldn't go to the doctor without my parents.
Yeah.
Now it's the opposite. Now it's about keeping your parents out of the doctor's office with your kids.
But then if you,
and there's much bigger reasons why that is that we won't get into right
now. Yeah, exactly.
But it's really screwed up in the sense that it's like, you can feel like in the United States, you're in a completely different country, depending what state you're on or on in whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm on,
I'm not a parent, but I feel like this law kind of just, I don't know.
It's a little 1984.
I saw folks saying this changed,
but
I saw folks saying this paves the way of kind of like how the internet's completely closed off in China.
Yeah.
At a federal level, that would have to happen.
Because that's basically what it is.
But it's like, I feel like the kid, you should, as a parent, you should already have established a trust, like an amount of trust that you could trust your kid to do that. Or, you know, like you could audit them. Like the audits, my parents did that with me when I was younger and it worked, but it's like sooner or later, they're going to come across stuff that they probably shouldn't have came across, you know? And the best you could do as I'd say, like not as a parent, but I feel the best that you could do as a parent is prepare them for that when that happens, you know? But so they don't feel embarrassed to come to you or like shamed to come to you like, hey, this is what happened and I came across this, and like kind of have a positive reaction versus just being negative and being punished for stumbling across it, you know? It's just, yeah, I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree with their reasoning for feeling like there's something needs to be done because of the amount of non-involved parents there are. Like, yeah. I feel like in a perfect world, if every parent was involved in their kids and their kids felt like they could come to their parents and talk to them when they had problems, that's where the root of, like, it all starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts at home. It doesn't, your kid's online behavior, your kid's school behavior, it all starts at home, you know? And if, you know, even though I've got my daughter, you know, her accounts and stuff are fairly locked down, she comes to me when she has a problem. My wife as well. Depending on the problem, she'll come to either me or my wife. But my kid comes to us all the time. And sometimes it shocks the heck out of me, like, what she'll come to us with. And I'm like, these are the kind of conversations that usually you try and figure out how to bring up to your kid without making it all awkward. But next thing you know, they're hitting us upside the head with the question. So clearly my kid's comfortable with coming to us, kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
But at the same time, the older my kid gets, the more I trust her and the less I have to be, quote unquote, involved. But I'm never going to be hands off.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, I mean, and this is the kind of conversation that a person's agreement or disagreement with even what I'm saying and how I treat my own kids is going to be 100% based on their own personal experience as a kid. Maybe they had parents that were completely overbearing, overreaching to the point to where, like, I had a friend growing up, a female friend, when I was in middle school. She didn't have a door in her room.
Oh, one of those parents?
Yeah.
Dang.
And I could not fathom that because I was allowed to have a door. I was allowed to have a lock on my door.
Yeah.
In fact, I might have put a lock on my kid's door because her little sister won't stay out of her room, kind of a thing, you know? But the point is, I can't see this going well in the sense of, How do you, there are so many more
ways that it can go wrong versus that it can go right.
I feel like it's a feel-good measure.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a feel-good measure. Just like our measure of saying in the state of California by 2020 or 2035, all new vehicle sales will be EV.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's just a resume measure. That's all it is. To say, well, look, I tried to get us all electric and off fossil fuels in California. They pushed back, but I tried. I feel like that's what this is in Utah, that we tried to save your kids. We tried.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Are parents asking the government to save their kids?
I don't think.
Do parents even know they have kids? Do parents even parent?
Common sense would point it's the parents who have to, like, protect the kids, not the government.
I mean, I lost hope for the average parent, honestly, the moment I started working at the restaurant. Just seeing the amount of crap that these idiots will let
You can learn a lot about a person when they're eating.
Dude.
Like the behaviors, and especially the dynamic of a family.
Dude, I've literally seen, like, a parent just let their kid crawl over the booth into somebody else's booth and then start eating their food, like, while that person was, like, in the bathroom.
Oh, geez.
They were coming. They came back to this kid eating their food or whatever, and they were like trying to get the parents' attention and stuff. And I was like, that's not even uncommon for that terrible of behavior. And I'm just thinking, like, dude, my mom would have smacked the shit out of me if I did anything. Like, if I even thought of that, I would have gotten the shit smacked out of it. And here's this, like, you know, pair of parents that are just chilling and, like, whatever, on their phones. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, yeah, that experience of working at the restaurant, it was just like I can see, like you said, I can see why the government is introducing a law like that, because they know most parents aren't going to even bother. And it's just like, dude, like, if you're going to have kids, parent your kids.
It really drills down to the government is saying your parent has to give you permission.
Yeah.
Right. It's just the parent is not going to be like, let me freaking take a photo of my ID, send it off to TikTok.
Yeah.
So that they can.
Yeah. What's going to happen is the kid is going to Google what a VPN is. And then they're just going to have their access to the thing, because you can't stop a kid from accessing what they want to access. You have to like make the kid understand what they want to access and like choose to not, or choose to access things that are going to better their life. But, you know,
it's such an ugly situation. Yeah. Like I said, as a parent, I can understand why they're doing that, but it ultimately requires the parents to be involved with their kids. You know, it's like the older my daughter gets, the less layers of protection I have on there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because
it's like learning how to ride a bike. You know, you just slowly
pull the training wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I used to use an app called Bark. In fact, remember I was talking about Bark when the human trafficking sheriffs came by and were talking with us, cause they were fans of the channel and they'd found our suite and we were just chatting with them. Yeah. Remember, we found out they were in human trafficking.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, well, what's a good app that would allow me to have visibility on what they're doing, but not like
be invasive about it?
Well, no. If you're watching what someone's doing, that's invasion. It really is. I mean, in the terms of invasion, that's exactly what's happening. But it's, I guess it's more like surveillance. But still, it's. I was like, what's a good app that would warn me, like, hey, there are some terms that were used in this chat or this email or this quick chat or whatever that's like, hey, you might want to look at this, right? And that app is called Bark. And it was good and bad. It, basically, what it does is it sets a VPN up on the phone, and all traffic goes through there, which gets sniffed. And then it tells me, like, hey, the most common thing I got was lyrics and songs. And it would show me the lyric, and I'm like, yeah. Good God. But all music is like that now, and it irritates the crap out of me. But anyway, it got to the point to where I was just like, okay, my daughter doesn't have that app on her phone anymore. Because there's trust that has been earned that allows me to go, okay, I can strip away this layer and this layer. I'm like, my kid's only 4 years old, or 4 years old, 4 years away from being an adult.
Yeah.
She acts like an adult now. So I start taking this stuff off. What is scary is the fact that I have an 8-year-old daughter that, you know, is very much like Roblox is like the best and worst thing that has ever existed, in my opinion. It's a cool place for people to design neat games on a free-to-play flat platform, et cetera, et cetera. It is a pedophile's wet dream up there.
That's always the tug of war that they're going to have to fight, because just by its own nature, you know what I mean? They wanted to make a space for kids to play and, you know, have these tools to create their own experiences and stuff for, you know, for to share. But necessarily that in and of itself is going to be the wet dream for said pedophile. And so that's always the 50-50 that they're always going to have to deal with. I feel like Roblox, from what I've heard, is probably like doing the best at it, you know, instead of just kind of leaning towards like a whatever YOLO, we'll just let them do whatever, or so, super locked down, way so too locked down, and like no one.
My oldest doesn't really have her Roblox controlled anymore. I hate the word control because I'm not controlling what my kid can go to and do.
What do you call it?
I'm limiting what she has access to. Mm. Like, for instance, porn websites are absolutely limited. they are zero access.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying here's where you can go. I'm saying here's where you cannot go. It's kind of like you have free reign within the whole realm of this still massively wide
Simba,
web.
Everything the light touches.
What about the shadowy spot? You must promise me never to go there. That is TikTok.
No, my favorite is the meme that's like, what about the shadowy spot? What the fuck did I just say, Simba? sorry, demonetization, but I had to read the meme as it is. It loses its impact if I tell.
No, that's true. Yeah. But no, my youngest wants to be like her older sister, and she doesn't understand why she's
older
not allowed.
Older sis gets less, like, control measures or whatever, you know.
Yeah. But the thing is, when older sis was young, it wasn't like today.
Yeah.
And by like today, I mean the amount of media, social media websites and stuff. Anyway, moving on to the more of the article. They're saying big tech companies have also been urging the U.S. government to introduce regulations that could keep young social media users safe. The problem is,
no, there's a lot more. There's a lot more signups with more data.
But no. Here's an example. The war on drugs. Okay, what does that mean?
Yeah,
we're stopping drugs. No, you're not. There's a crackhead walking down the street right now. Later, we see them every day, right?
Yeah.
You're not stopping nothing. So, what does it mean to say the war on drugs? This is like the war on online danger to kids. But if we know anything about any government, is their technology ability to like keep anyone safe online?
Oh my God, that one representative that was like, does TikTok connect to my Wi-Fi network? And then like the TikTok CEO is like, well, if you connect to your Wi-Fi network, then yes. Like, this is the level of tech understanding in our government. And I'm just like, bro.
Yeah. It's eye rolling.
But it says here, okay, let me go back one more time. It is saying that Utah has it written here if you're under the age of 16. So there's still a 2-year gap between where this bill would affect versus where you don't need your parents' permission anymore.
Right. Congrats to drugs for winning the war on drugs.
Yeah, that's mission complete.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
We got him, boys.
Instead of George Bush, it's just a giant joint.
It's a floating joint.
Joint on Bush.
On the freaking carrier with all the soldiers and the planes in the background and the flag. Oh my God. Mission accomplished.
I wish I knew what the answer is to this, other than parents need to be more involved.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it. We live in a society
that you can legislate. It's an answer that needs to change, needs to happen at the parent level.
I'm extremely, extremely fortunate and grateful for the fact that by the time my youngest, who's 8 years old now, was born, the channel had grown enough to allow my wife to be a stay-at-home mom. Because I firmly believe the home needs one parent home. But that's not feasible for, like, I don't know, some arbitrary number of 95% of households, because they have to be dual income earners just to make it in today's society.
I saw a lot of people commenting too that, like, you know, part of the reason that a lot of parents aren't involved in the kids is because they just don't have enough time.
You know, it's that grind. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you're tired. Maybe you make dinner. Maybe today you DoorDash it, you order it. You're falling asleep on the couch, and then you go to bed, you rinse, repeat. You might spend, including the weekend, a total of 10 hours with your kids.
See, and that's the weird thing is that, like, because my experience was completely opposite, and yet I feel like I'm pretty decently well-adjusted of a human being, and I came out pretty well-adjusted of a human being, but it's like
I came from a one working parent home. When I was in kindergarten, my mom worked for a police department, actually. My mom worked until I started kindergarten. And she worked nights, by the way. Mm-hmm. So when I started school, my mom stayed home. And my mom was a stay at home all the way until I was an adult. And when she did have a job, when we needed more income because we couldn't, my dad made tons of money, and there were times he made not enough money and we needed church food. You know what I mean? So I've seen both ends of the spectrum, and we've been foreclosed and evicted out of a home before when I was in high school. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum. When my mom would need to make more money, she was able to be fortunate enough, at least back in like the freaking 90s, to have a work from home job.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Which was super rare back then.
Yeah.
Extremely rare, but was a work from home job. Because it was like a call center type of job where it sounds very suggestive, but whatever.
Oh yeah, I forgot about those. I totally forgot about those phone lines.
1-900 numbers. Yeah. Will somebody please think of the kids? We need a ban on 1-900 numbers.
You need a government ID to sign into your 1-900 call for.
You have to fax a copy of your ID to the operator. Yeah. Anyway,
she doesn't even get flirty.
Yeah, it was like after hours call centering for Dunkin' brands, like Dunkin' Donuts and all that stuff, for like their customer service line for their franchisees that needed help.
Oh, I was so, like, how do you have customer service issues with a donut? You just eat it. Like,
she was basically, during after hours, she was basically an intermediary that would take a phone call from the store that needed to go to corporate, kind of a thing.
Okay.
Right. Oh,
okay.
And because, you know, Dunkin' brands, I think also, maybe not, but she also did the same thing for 7-Eleven. You know, that's a 24-hour convenience store, right? So she was able to do it, but she worked nights because during the day it was family time. So she would then work until like 2:30 in the morning and then sleep until like 10:30. And then that was... My mom always made sure that if she had to be involved with work in some way, that she was still present, you know. And my mom was very strict, by the way. My mom's German. She was very strict. She had a Bavarian upbringing. She was born in Germany and moved here when she was young. But still, like, let's just say the upbringing I got from my mom today would land CPS on people's doors like that, okay? And I think that's probably why I have a little bit of a respect for, I guess, being a parent, because it's hard. I don't know. I don't have an answer to this.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to make a difference. I agree with them basically making a motion here that says kids need their parents involved. But I also recognize that we live in a society where parents have to work. And there's a lot of latchkey kids out there. I fortunately wasn't a latchkey kid. But if you don't know what a latchkey kid is, it's basically a kid that had to let themselves into their home after school and was alone until bedtime.
That was me pretty much from... my parents split at 10 years old. So yeah, about 11 onwards.
I would say you turned out all right, but I know how you are offline.
Yeah, that's why I said all right and not great. No, but
it's still passing.
But yeah, like my mom, because my mom, after they split, like my mom was an operating room nurse. And so she would get home at like 7, 8, 9 sometimes, you know what I mean? Like sometimes I would go to sleep and not.
Because your mom worked in medical, right?
Yeah. But I was already living in LA by then. So like I could take the, like transportation was a non-factor because I could just take the bus anywhere. And so like, yeah, I had already gotten used to that by like sophomore year of high school.
What was your childhood like? Because I know your mom's a physical therapist.
Yeah.
And your dad was an army officer.
Yes, but he's also a civilian job social worker. But
while you were a kid?
Yeah.
Well, so he had two jobs.
Yeah.
So he was active duty army officer.
And then
a social worker.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least growing up here, like I went to like at high school, I could just take a shuttle to my dad's office or my mom's office. And then I'd have to hang out in the cubicle and then we go home.
Was that there. Because you weren't allowed to be home alone?
It's because we didn't have.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to cut you off. But I feel like I have the perfect balance between your parents and your parents.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, you do actually. Yeah.
I had one really strict parent and I had one much more lenient parent that kind of balanced each other out.
Yeah.
But I was allowed to be left home alone. I was allowed to come home from school by myself after a certain age, like usually middle school for the most part.
Yeah. And mine was more necessity than, policy.
So, yeah, elementary, my grandma's house is right up the street. So, like, I get dropped off at school, walk to my grandma's, and then I get picked up in the evening. So at least I had my family there, like a family member. And then high school, I hung out at school where I did teacher's assistant, stayed there and then got picked up.
Kissing butt sound.
Hung out there and then I got picked up after parents were done working.
So would you say you had helicopter parents?
What do you mean by that?
A parent that's always hovering above you, checking everything you're doing. Was worried you were like, is Nick okay? What's Nick doing? Nick. Like, did you have a parent like that?
I wouldn't say aggressive helicopter. It happened. It didn't feel like it at all.
I was gonna say you would know.
Yeah,
you would know because you would hate it.
I wasn't being micromanaged.
Yeah.
See, like for instance, my parents, if I wanted to stay the night at a friend's house, they had to meet the parents.
Oh.
Parents had to meet the parents.
Yeah.
Had to talk to them, had to get a phone number, had to feel them out and then meet them and then be like, okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, same here.
And then maybe get to spend the night there later on.
I always had to do the, hey, you have to ask my mom because if I ask my mom, she's going to say no.
My mom only said no if I asked if they could stay at our house. My mom, if I asked, they were like, who is it? Throw out a random name. Evan.
Yeah.
Oh, where are we going? Evan's house. Bye. What time do I have to be home? Doesn't
matter.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, fine. I'll leave then.
Although, now that I have my own place, I understand why my mom was always like, no, they can't come over because the house is a mess. Because I've already told friends, like,
they're going to judge me.
I'll come over to you. I'll go over there.
I think I've been in your apartment once.
Yeah. I mean, I've kept it clean mostly whenever somebody's coming over. But yeah, sometimes I just let it go and I'm just like, whatever, I don't care. You know, ADHD brain, you know how it goes. No, I was going to say, it's funny that you mentioned latchkey because I had never heard that term before, but I guess that's exactly what I was.
No, it's you can look it up, a latchkey kid.
Because a lot of times...
Oftentimes, though, latchkey kids have sort of a negative connotation. Yeah. Like, they're either the neighborhood bullies or the kid that's unmonitored and becomes just a...
ungovernable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it was weird because, it was like to the point where a lot of times I would just, you know, my mom would like... have to just leave me the money for the groceries and then, you know, here's the list. And then on your way back from school, like grab the stuff. And we had a grocery store. Luckily.
So to be honest, you were forced into early adulthood.
Basically. Yeah. I think so. And like for some reason I didn't really think of it that way or like put that much importance onto it. It was just kind of like I was like, hey, like I have a bus card. I have a wallet. Like why?
I could do it too.
Yeah. Why not? Why not just be a person? it was never really, it was an awesome amount of freedom for me, especially in LA, you know, like, or Santa Monica specifically. So, which is even more, you know, ridiculous sounding, but, what is it? Yeah. Like I remember talking about this to my mom and I think her biggest, she was worried that I had felt neglected through that. And I was like, no.
That's a reasonable thought.
Yeah, it is a very reasonable thought because, do you really know if your kids can understand what the situation is? But obviously, because the split happened kind of like when I was just barely old enough to comprehend it. I was like, Mom, I completely understood what we were going through. It wasn't like I didn't feel neglected at all.
For
like,
my parents.
You did as much as you could. You did 120% for the amount of time that you were like allotted by life.
Yeah.
And that's like all that anyone could ask for, you know? And that's what I said to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's one of those things where I guess that is probably why I think if anything, independence was one of my first like earliest things that I had to get used to.
And I was the opposite.
Yeah.
In the sense that I was so dependent on my parents, even after I moved out, that it took me until my 30s to really be independent.
Right.
You know, yeah, borrowing money or even having to live with them for time. Like my wife and I, when we first got married, had to, you know, we were living with my parents for a long time, and it was just, it took a long time for maturity to happen because part of it was because my mom mostly was so
kid has the keys to the gun safe. Oh,
no. Because my mom was so involved to where I didn't have to really like, I was just told do this. It was almost like a military life.
Right.
Do this.
And right? Honestly, like for me, that's kind of like what, I mean, you see that career decision wise for me a lot where I'm just like, I function best when I'm like the middle cog. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like usually not the front or the rear cog, but like that's kind of my jam right there. So it's like, which is why like a lot of times when I get asked to host a video, I'm kind of like, but you know, like it's.
I feel like I want to dip my toe into a inch. I feel like this is going to be bad, but whatever.
What?
Corporal punishment.
Oh, yeah.
It is a very different world today versus all three of us when we were kids. Now, I feel like we probably have potentially the same split on involved parents.
There are... Oh, like which one was the one that...
Well...
Yeah, probably.
Were you spanked?
Actually, no.
Oh, yeah, all the time, dude.
Mom or dad?
Dad.
Do you think that was just the strict military side of him, or do you think that's just he maybe was a dick? I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know your dad. I never got to meet him.
2020 hindsight now, it could have been a mix, but back then, like,
do you feel okay? Let me back up a little bit here.
Let's just say,
feel like you deserved the? I'll say spankings. I don't want to incriminate anybody.
Yes, some of them were well-earned, but other ones I felt were completely unfair because those were the ones where I would get in trouble.
For something your sister did.
Yeah.
I have a sibling, so.
And she would literally just have to say, yell, dad, and then all of a sudden.
Dad!
Yeah, FBI knocking down my door.
The one that was unwarranted for me that sticks in my memory was getting a C in penmanship.
In some
grade school. I don't remember what grade it was, but it was obviously like young. And I got the.
First of all, I've never had a penmanship.
I don't even remember, like, what, yeah, Catholic school, whatever. I went there 11 years of Catholic school.
See, y'all went to private school. Yeah. I am a product of the Rialto Unified School District. Okay?
Yeah, me and my friends heard about the stuff that his school was doing. Like,
what's going on out there? Lots of things.
Oh. Why are there tanks in Rialto right now?
Yeah. Did you hear about that one school? Yeah, it was
my entire upbringing from kindergarten, because I didn't go to preschool, from kindergarten to 12th grade was bona fide Rialto Unified.
Oh, no. Claude Stone Funky 21's comment for all the Filipinos in chat was feel disciplined by elite.
Do y'all remember that?
Ding, ding. let me look up to show these guys what.
Was feel disciplined by Wallace Ting Ting.
Wallace Ting Ting. It's
like a broom.
Yeah, it's a broom made of like a bunch of stuff. And fortunately for me, no. But I unfortunately got the belt buckle. Instead of just the belt, like the leather part, it was like the buckle part.
So Wire the Wolf says, just wait till your father gets home, in quotes.
Yep.
Can I?
Oh, yeah.
No. My dad would say, I'm not telling your mom. Okay. So you had a very physically involved upbringing with your dad in terms of like being willing to spank you.
Yeah.
My mom was the one that was like willing to spare the rod, spoil the child. For you, I mean, it was mostly your mom your whole life, so...
Yeah, but it was mostly... My mom actually, I think, has a hard stance on not doing corporal
punishment. Because is it popular? Is it common in the Philippines?
Popular?
No, is it...
It probably is popular.
Is it common in the Philippines? In the Filipino, culture?
Yeah, I think so. I think they...
It is popular in the German culture, I will tell you that.
Because they definitely lean more towards, like, the conservative family value, like... side of the scale, so you know what I mean. Usually Filipinos will end up there. So,
I will say this:
I don't have a friend that I know didn't get hit when they were a kid. So yeah, put it that way. Like I don't have a Filipino friend.
Story
that,
time.
That yeah.
one time, I remember I was getting like 12, maybe 10. Somewhere had to been somewhere between 8 and 10. You know, the memories all start to mush together.
Yeah,
I was just being a little brat. I was just being a brat. As my dad would say, you're getting too big for your britches, right? He wasn't even Southern, but he would say that. You're too big for your britches. And I remember one time my mom was like, keep it up. Keep it up. I swear to God, I'm gonna whip you or whatever. My mom always, she was a very open-handed, like, smack on the butt. Every now and then, if I really deserved it, it was a on the mouth. And she had a quick draw. Pick up your room. Why? So anyway, she had a quick draw.
Man, look at you. It was just only slappers for you.
Okay. My mom had rings.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah. It was like, lips are all numb, feel all weird. Anyway, one time I remember this clear as day. It's a memory I will remember till the day I die. My mom kept warning me and I just was not having it.
You're like, no, you're not going
to
do it.
She had this. So one of the things that my mom did to earn money for the family when we needed to was, do you remember Thomas Guides? Mm-hmm. The Thomas Guide maps? You know, there was literally a...
So basically maps. You're like, do you remember maps?
Yeah. But no, it was one people...
They used to be on paper, guys.
I had Thomas Guides in my FedEx truck because we didn't have digital maps yet. But anyway, well, we did, but not accessible. I had a Razor flip phone, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's not like it could show you where you were on the map. Yeah. You had to just know.
It was a Razor flip phone. There was hardly any map at all. Anyway, you know how there was a column that showed every street that was on that map and it would show you the coordinates? So my mom was the one that literally would look at the map, write down the coordinate, write it down somewhere, and highlight it, and had to do that for the entire map, page by page by page. It was manual.
Jeez.
It was not done by computer like it is today. So she had this very special, expensive, clear, see-through ruler that she would use to like keep tabs of where she was.
I know where this is going.
She picked it up, and she whipped me across the butt with it, and it broke, and I laughed.
Oh, no.
I had a similar story.
You know how Chun Li's feet in Street Fighter do the... Yeah. That was the hands.
Oh my gosh.
Basically, the way you're laughing is what happened when she went, psh, and I went, ha, 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 didn't hurt. You're like,
uncle.
So damn. I got in trouble that she broke her ruler on my butt.
Yeah.
For me, that was like the last day I stopped getting corporal from my mom.
It was funny because I remember at one point my dad was like, just shut up. Because I was making it worse with the laughing. And this is a very strong memory for me because it was the time I remembered my mom's slaps no longer hurt.
Mm, that was the moment you realized it?
Yeah. I remember at one point, it was like this isn't child abuse. I swear, I earned it. I deserve this. But at one point, I was kind of doing the covering thing. And I was like I kind of uncovered my head. And I looked at her and I was like,
It's like Spider-Man realizing he could climb walls. Yes. He's like, oh. Yeah.
But no, I remember I looked at her and her face, my mom, when she get mad, she would do the pursed lips thing, like the, right? Yeah. I see it clear as day, the nostrils flaring, and then I see the hand.
Oh, it's like a meme when like the Doom Eternal theme starts playing.
No. So at that point, my mom always had a saying. Her mom taught her this. If it doesn't work, get a bigger stick.
Oh, no.
I remember my dad doing with this belt and big old thick leather belt. And he put it together and he went, and I was like, hey. Yeah. I think, honest, if I've been like kind of cataloging memories, that was the last time my parents ever spanked / corporal punished me. Because at that point we had
a threat of the belt was
enough? No. It was like, you're too big for this.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Right. You should already know better.
At that
point.
But it's a funny memory to me now, although it wasn't super funny at the time. What was making me laugh was her reaction, because the more she tried to like discipline me, the more I was like, it's not working anymore. Mm. I have the power.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, I have a dad.
Crap.
And my dad was a military badass, and he was just sitting around. His face was like, this isn't going the way she's hoping. Mm.
Well, time to bring out the artillery.
But the reason why I say the bigger stick, my dad was her bigger stick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So see, anyway. I got started with the bigger stick. Like, that was the default punishment, actually, for me. And now that I'm saying it out loud, it kind of sounds really bad, but yeah.
Subba Dabaru said, my mother realized it wasn't working, so she kicked me down the stairs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's abuse, man.
I'm thinking back to it now, and I'm just like, yeah, like a minor offense would leave red marks. And then if I did something really bad, like if I got like a C on any other class, even not just penmanship, but if I got like a C or God forbid a D or something in a class, yeah, blood's getting drawn.
Well, no, sure. See, after that,
my dad was kind of an asshole.
I was pretty chill. Like, it was far and few between these spankings / corporal punishments. But as I got older, my mom, she just turned the house into a freaking labor camp. Mm. I remember like falling asleep doing the dishes and stuff, and she's like, wake up, dude, after this we got laundry to do, kind of a thing.
Dude, there are some times where I would rather get hit by a belt than do the dishes.
Trust me, the labor was yeah. way worse. My dad yeah. had me pulling weeds by hand.
Oh my Ooh. God. Damn.
And you've seen my old backyard. That was that house.
I'm so glad my parents split before I got old enough to do gardening work.
Hindsight.
Because I was living in Santa Monica in a high rise, so there's no gardening work to do there. I didn't have to do that.
So there were lapses in the punishment because my dad would go on like reserve tours sometimes, like 2 weeks for work. Oh,
your mom kept the list, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I built up that list, and then when he came back, I was punished.
I'd be like, is there any way we can sort of just negotiate, lump these up into one punishment rather than
just like punch the card, and then he could do this many offenses for.
Yeah, it's funny though because
you're like taking out punishment debt.
No, you know what? I don't have to
take like a loan debt. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you want to take out credit.
I don't have to spank my kids, and I'm not going to pretend like we haven't. But there's a much better punishment that works today.
Yeah, taking away the phone.
Give me your phone.
Yeah.
give me the power cord to your computer.
I was talking to my girlfriend about this because my dad tried to take away my internet once, and then like, but he forgot that he'd given me an old work laptop, and it had a modem, and. Me, computer nerd, at that age, with a modem equals internet access, because I knew what the net zero phone numbers were.
Yeah.
I knew how to sign up for an account.
Did I ever tell you about the time my dad tried to lock me out of the computer and it didn't work? Okay, so I come home from school, high school.
Well, the best part, okay, wait, let me finish the story. The best part is that like my dad only found out because he went to call one of his friends on the house phone. And I was online. We already had DSL.
He's so, like, wait a minute.
And that's the thing, is we had DSL already.
So it should have.
Like he took away that internet, you know, so I was.
You're like, fine, I'm okay with slower internet.
Yeah, I'm okay with slower internet as long as I can access it. Back then, at least, web pages weren't so
image-heavy. I got 12 minutes for a porn picture to download.
53 kilobits a second. But yeah, no, yeah, he picks up the phone, and then I hear the phone immediately hang up, and then I'm like, oh shit. And then I hear his footsteps going to my door. I'm frantically unplugging the laptop, trying to hide it. So yeah, no, that one did. That ended up in a beating, too.
I think peak asshole for me was when he would change our router password, but I already knew what he was going to change it to because he never changed his passwords.
That's hilarious.
So I would rechange it back and lock him out.
That's funny.
So this was Windows NT, I think, era, like when I was in high school. So it was XP/NT time.
Yeah,
I come home from school, and apparently my progress report had come home in the mail, and my parents were like, okay. Remember, I think I've told the story before. Like, I always knew if I got bad grades because I walked home from school, and if my mom found me along the route and picked me up, it's because she couldn't wait 20 minutes to yell at me. So dang. She would come pick me up, and I see the car. I'm like, oh crap, I'm ducking behind bushes and crap, literally taking the long way home, kicking rocks, tiptoeing, because I'm like, I don't want to go home if I saw the car. But anyway, she inevitably would find me. But this one time I'm coming home, and I'm like, oh, she didn't come pick me up, so I guess the progress reports weren't bad, because we always knew when they were getting mailed out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that.
I get home, my mom and my dad are sitting on the couch, and I walk in, I'm like, hey, and they're like, hey, how was school? Normal, like whatever. Like kids never like, so here's what I did today.
Like, what are your grades? Yeah. Like, oh, I'm passing.
No, they didn't. She didn't ask me that. I'm like, fine. Okay, cool. They're like, all right, well, we're watching TV, so whatever. I'd come home and go on the computer most of the time anyway. Now they're shot from, you remember my mom's house, how the garage was a conversion into an office / room or whatever, right? It was an office at the time. And from the couch where the sliding door is, you could see right down past the kitchen into that room. And you could see the computer facing you, so my back would have been facing them sitting at the chair. Put down my backpack, go in there, sit down, turn on the computer, and I'm like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And I remember, like, turn looking at them, and they're like, I'm thinking, this is weird. Yeah, why are they waiting for? for the audio listeners, they were sitting there with like their arms folded, head kind of cocked to the side with like a smirk, like
waiting for Jada.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's weird. Anyway, it goes to a freaking login screen, which had never been on the computer before. It was just logged in. Like it just go right to the desktop. And I remember looking at it going, And then like typing a password and it's like wrong password.
Yeah.
And I looked at them and they were like, with the stupid smile, like,
yeah.
And I was like,
oh no.
A couple more passwords and then ding. And I remember as soon as it went in, my dad was like, what the hell? So, he comes, no, get off the computer. Then the yelling started. Because yeah. their way of getting my
attention. Slug thinking that the password would be
yeah,
enough.
Yeah,
right?
Because I had gotten a bad progress report. Yeah, and funny. They wanted to, they were like, how are we going to, let's have fun with this one, apparently. Because yeah. I did not get good grades in high school. I was a terrible student. And so they just.
At least you're consistent, right? Yeah. But no. That's the problem with me. I was like straight A's, straight C.
The thing was, A's. My dad was the kind of person that would use the same password for everything or some variant of it.
So you and Nick have the same
password.
Yeah, it's
so easy. Yeah, so he was not happy. And then they came in, then I had the 2-hour tongue lashing about my grades.
Man, I got in trouble for changing the daycare's BIOS password to penis with one of my friends. Because we and my friend were playing Descent, and we had a save game on there, and then people kept deleting our save game because they would play on the computer later or whatever. And I was like, you know what? Screw this. This could be our computer. And it was the only 486 in the room. The other ones were 386s. And I was like, I need my extra 5 FPS in Descent. It's hard. So yeah, and then some girl saw my friend slow ass typing the password in. She's like, wait.
No, it should be P3.
I know.
Wait, P3N15.
I didn't think to make it leet. We should have did that. But anyway, yeah, some little girl saw it and then like ran to the teacher. He typed a bad word in the computer. And then that's how they found out that we had set a BIOS password on a computer.
Could you imagine going to your teacher today? They put a bad word in the computer. Just sit down.
It's funny because it's like the most like early 2000s thing because our user account on Descent was Tony Hawk. Like it was named Tony Hawk. Like, why wouldn't we put our real names
That's
there?
That's a good question. I kind of want to go back and see how my computer lab teacher felt because we all installed like StarCraft on the school server so we could access it from any computer.
You guys are lucky. You had computers with color.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, to think of like a random, like, super hole in the wall Catholic grade school in San Bernardino having a computer lab for daycare is actually pretty. I was like, now that I think about it in retrospect.
Nick's over here talking about school computers that could play Descent. Meanwhile.
No, Phil.
Oh.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, what was the Apple that was all integrated with the one little like 13-inch black and white screen with the floppy disk in the front?
Well, the original Mac was that. And then they brought it back again as a Mac Classic, which was just kind of like a rehash of the old.
It was probably that because we're talking 1990.
Did it have a little bit smoother of a front? It wasn't as a square.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it was like
it could have been either a Mac or a Mac SE or a Mac Classic. But
well, it was a Mac for damn sure. And we, dude, our I feel like
a little tiny one, right?
Yeah,
it probably had a screen about this size.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, that was our computer lab.
Yeah,
games. What is this crap? Games at school.
It was cool.
It was funny because the library had the Macs, but then like I guess they put the PCs in the daycare probably because they were just like whatever, the kids can just destroy these and we don't care because they're the older computers.
Well, no, I think part of it honestly was so this the
no high school, no Apple II guys, Apple IIs were separate. You have to get a monitor for it, like a Commodore. Learn to Apple.
I think our school just got those Apple grants.
Yeah,
you know they're just provided.
I think they were everywhere too. Yeah. I mean, my first computer I ever used was a Mac Performa, and that was at the stupid Valley Prep school that I went to for like kindergarten or first grade. But yeah, they were already teaching us computers in first grade, and so I learned how to. We literally had a class that taught us like this is a mouse, this is left click. Well, I mean, on a Mac, it's just one click, but this is how you click. This is what a double click is. This is what a drag is. You know, all the tutorials that you had to teach people back in the 90s and 2000s on how to use a computer. Mm-hmm. Like thinking back on it, that's insane. And I think that was very forward, like thinking of that school to straight up have first graders in a class to teach them this is how to operate just the basics of how to operate a computer. You know, what a folder is, what a file is, and that sort of stuff in first grade. And so, yeah, a Mac Performa was the first computer I remember using. And so that's why computers have just been always easy for me ever since, because I was just like, I already got the basics from that school.
It was weird to me. Like, I can't remember what the computers were. I think they were also, no, I don't remember. But the like the Oregon Trail computers and...
Probably, that's probably an Apple II.
If it middle
was,
school.
If it was a command line on green on black.
No, it was color.
The color ones.
Okay.
I remember those.
But I remember blowing my mind that in middle school, I had these bigger screen colored computers in our lab, and in high school, I had these tiny little black and white deals.
Anyway. I mean, that was the big thing about the Mac was color and a graphical user interface over all the terminal crap. That, true.
That oh, man, had, to be in the 90s. I know, right? All right, let's move on. Nick, you had something you wanted to ask us.
Oh, yeah. So when you guys leave a hobby or stop doing it, where is your line of it doesn't interest me anymore and I should probably get rid of it?
When it doesn't interest me anymore and I get
rid
of it. But,
like, do you hang on into it? So, like, oh, I'll come back to it later. Like... Like for me, it's my Gunpla stuff. I always come back to it, but
yeah,
like my paintball stuff. I said I'd come back to it. I never did. It's still sitting in my closet, kind of deal.
Same for me with drones. Like I've been wanting to fly again, but like I haven't flown since like last year, and it's just like
I still have all my drone stuff.
Yeah,
you must like but
it's
like
I don't know. I think it's for me. It's because I kind of did every trick that I wanted to learn with the drone. And yeah. I flew through every gap and did every cool thing that I kind of had in my head to do with the drone. And so
it became less fulfilling to just do it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think I forgot who was talking about this. I think it might have been Adam Savage or one of those other creators with ADHD. But they were talking about how the fact that like it's that high that you get from learning and then executing something that you right. just learned and then cool, let me try this slightly larger thing. That progress, satisfaction that you get from the progress,
right,
is almost...
It's about the journey.
It's almost, yeah, it's almost more, the hobby it's is almost more about that.
It's
not the destination,
it's the journey. It's yeah. literally that cliche.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and the funny thing is, like, yeah, once I got up to, like, inverted yaw spins and then, like, power loops and stuff like that, I was just like, cool. I mean, I have all the tools in my toolbox to make a really flowy, nice flight video, and then I did that, and I posted it to my YouTube, and then I was like, okay. like for some reason, my ADHD brain was just like, all right, cool. I think we're good. We did a good job. You did some good flying. Yeah. And then I just put the drone away, and home. I never flew again for some reason. And it might sound sad to somebody, but it's, like, it's weird because I don't feel like it was a bad trade. You know what I mean? I feel like that satisfaction that I got through that year of learning, not even really, it was like 8 months of like a learning process of like, you know, starting from the Tiny Hawk and going all the way to the 3.5-inch freestyle drone was what the most fun about it was to me. You know what I mean? It was so fun to be like, oh, I've only been flying for 4 weeks and I'm doing like a power loop or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, oh, I've only been flying for a month
you
and a half.
You were flying almost every day for a while there.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was very obsessed. I was like straight up
but
waking up.
But that's ADHD too.
Yeah, I was waking up at like 5:30 in the morning just so I could fly from...
Yeah, before work.
7 to 8. Yeah, 7 to 8:30 and then I'd drive up here.
I think part of that was because you knew the morning hours had less wind.
Yeah, it did turn me into a morning person. Yeah, morning has less wind and it's nicer and there's less people outside too. And people are gross.
Two people outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Less moving targets.
Why do you stay whole all the time? Dude, it's two people outside and all my stuff is there. So
I'm just sitting here trying to think about what hobbies I even have right now. I guess I slowed.
Yeah, you haven't
built
a boat in a while.
No, I guess I slowed down on buying cars. No,
oh God!
No, the model thing you mentioned though, it's funny because all three of the ones that are still in progress are sitting above my computer at home. But that's a major time sink. However, the microscopes now have me going, I want to start again because I'll be able to have an even greater level of detail with my painting and the photo etch stuff with the microscope. You know, it's if I can't dedicate, like, I can't just sit there for 1 hour because I'll spend 20 minutes getting all the stuff set up.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes plus putting it away. And that leaves me 20 minutes to do it, you know?
That was kind of like why like the drone thing fell off for me too, because I was just like, well, I could go, but then I have to go to the park.
Yeah.
I have to go put clothes on.
Like, I want to just fly it from my bedroom, but I need a nano long range to do that.
Well,
dude, that would be the dream. Fly the drone from your house to the park, then fly back. Yeah.
I think the thing is, though, like, oh, with both of you guys have a lot more free time than I do.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are able to...
Free time police.
Yeah, the free time police are coming. I feel like you guys are able to sort of dive in and really get involved in these hobbies. Whereas I go, dang, I got to make a decision today. Do I want to have a hobby or see my kid?
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So It sucks.
It's cool because we get both perspectives from both sides of that fence.
No, I love being a parent. Like, being a parent is awesome. It's not something I ever thought I wanted when I was younger. When I was younger, I even say my early 20s, I was like, I do not want kids. And it was a conversation that came up between my wife and I, like, after we were married. It's like, so how many kids do you want? Kids?
Wait.
Yeah, what? I want. My wife was like, I want 4. I'm like, I want 0.
So it's we like, compromised.
Wait, you guys had that conversation after the marriage? Oh, dang. I'm actually amazed that like it ended up okay.
We have 2. It was a compromise.
Yeah, you're right. Holy shit. That is exactly 50% down the middle. Yeah, you're right.
But no, it was...
That's funny.
But up until my oldest was born, I didn't like have a... I wasn't excited. I was just kind of like, dang, I get this... creature I've got to be in charge of for 18 years until the day she was born, and then it was a whole different switch happened right there. And it goes along with this thing my wife had told me once before, where she was just like, a woman becomes a mother the moment she knows she's pregnant, but a dad doesn't become a dad until they hold their kid,
right?
So like, you can be enamored and be like, I'm excited, I'm having a kid, blah, 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 blah. But you can't feel what the person
that
growing the child inside of them feels until you have it in your arms, you know, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just, I don't have any active hobbies right now.
Yeah. So I think for you, it's just, it's more of a logistic thing. Because
of all the health stuff my wife's going through right now, the amount of extra, like I kind of am dad and half a mom at the same time, plus business owner / on-screen personality, like the amount of time that I don't have per day for even like self-care stuff is really kind of depressing at the moment. But no, building the models, going in the garage and just finding something to tinker on, you know, riding my bike, like all that stuff. It's just, even when I had time, I had to make the choice. What one thing do I want to do today? But I was not really able to just dive head first into any one thing and obsess over it since before my kids were born.
Yeah.
You know, that was World of Warcraft, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, yeah.
That was World of Warcraft.
That was your big hobby.
And RC stuff. I would go out and buy a ton of RC stuff, like for the trucks. I have like 3 rock crawlers.
Yeah, because when I started telling you about my friends that were getting into rock crawlers, like, oh, what the heck?
I've got scale crawlers. I don't have time anymore. And that's being 40,
which is funny,
42 years old.
A lot of those friends that were in a rock cars too are also like, their trucks are just in the garage collecting dust and or broken and too lazy to fix apart and stuff. Yeah. I think honestly that might be for hobbies with us that we've all done RC stuff. Usually the thing that stops you forever is like the, oh, I broke something, and then like, I'm too lazy to fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just never fix it.
Depending on what it is, it's too expensive to fix it.
Because that's how I got out of RC drift cars, because like my friend stepped on it. And then the whole rear subframe was like...
My latest hobby, honestly, has been stargazing. But that's because it's a common interest with one of my kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I went out and bought that Celestron 8SE.
I still want to go look through that.
Well, that's the thing. I bought these nice ass telescopes.
It's like, been
clouds.
Yeah,
it's clouds everywhere. Clouds. Cloudy today. This weekend, though, it's going to be clear, Phil. What are you doing on Saturday night?
I'm down.
You're going to hit up Joshua Tree.
I know, dude. One of these days. Yeah. No, it needs to be like, we load everything up in the truck. We literally go up to the mountain.
Truck.
Or like the high desert or something.
That
you know,
would be nuts.
Joshua Tree, like you said, because it's awesome to have that to share with my kids, but I've only just started kind of getting into it myself. You know, but we were at Disneyland last month. It was nighttime. We sit down to eat dinner, and my daughter looks up in the sky. She's like, whoa, what is that? It's Venus. It's been Venus for like the last 3 weeks. It's the same Venus you've asked me about every night.
It takes a while for it to go.
But she goes, why is it still there? And I'm like... When she's older, she'll understand.
Yeah.
But I told her, I'm like, can you see how it's slightly yellowy? She's like,
get you someone. No.
I said, do you see how it's slightly yellowy? And she goes like this. She goes, nope.
Get you someone who gets excited to see Venus every evening.
That's funny.
Get yourself someone that, like, my kid looks at you like my kid looks at Venus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, what is that?
But hopefully they don't ask you why you're still here.
But no, here's what sucks about that. Is that particular day at Disneyland, it was cloudy. And then the clouds parted, and Venus was big AF because it's one of the closest it's been in a long time. And I'm like, damn, I'm at Disneyland, and I can't point my telescope at it. And then
you
literally
a fully automated one but that ties into like Alexa. Yeah. Alexa, take a picture.
I looked so stupid too that night because I was like, I'm going to, she goes, what's that bright blue one to the left? I'm like, I think that's Rigel.
Oh, so you pulled out the sky map.
And yeah. I was like, I think that's Rigel. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's Rigel. So we're sitting there outside this eating area right so across. So for those that know Disneyland, this was the throwback night. It was a special evening event where you had special tickets. And it was all decorated like the 50s and 50s music and all that stuff. And if you know Disneyland, there's the Briar Rose, which is a restaurant right in front of Casey Jr. Train. So it's like an outdoor-indoor area. So I'm sitting there. It's kind of over by the Galaxy's Edge, ironically. So I'm sitting looking. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Rigel. They're serious. And then she was like, where's the moon? And I'm sitting there and I'm all.
Did you just unplug yourself? Oh, no. Yeah. Wait, no.
Okay. I bumped my cord. But I was like this. I'm like looking up at the sky, looking down at the ground. I'm like turning around.
Oh, my God.
So I was like walking around like this, pointing my phone at the ground, looking all stupid because I was looking for the moon through the earth, yeah. Right? But anyway, it was so she loves to point at something and she's getting it. I was like, what's the difference between, like, how can you tell that's a planet and that's a star? She's like, because that one's twinkly. I'm like, there you go. That one's dull. That one's twinkly. One's round. One is just a point of light. Really, a light doesn't have a shape, right? But yeah. A planet does.
Yeah.
Or I mean, they're both round, but they're very to make everyone away. Happy, the hole poked in the ceiling. Okay, whatever. Oh, so the pinhole poked in the ceiling.
I recently watched the Dude Perfect Goes to Space, where one of them got a ride on a Blue Origin like trip, and I love that the first question they asked was like. So is it flat? He's like, nope, can actually confirm it's not flat.
It's window. No, it's the windows are curved. Yeah. They're optical.
Concave. Oh, no. I just love that. Imagine one of your friends goes to space and that's literally the first thing you ask them when they get back. Hey, bro, is it flat? We want to know.
Lewis Neves asked me in chat, Jay, you playing guitar isn't a hobby? It is. No, you're right. And the only reason that didn't come directly to mind right now is because of the fact that I have actually been playing a lot less than I was. But that's just because of family trips and preparing for the surgery coming up and my wife's health stuff. It's just been kind of sucky lately. But no, I will pick it up and play for 5-10 minutes and put it away, and that's fine. That is definitely my most involved hobby at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's after 2 years now, literally next month will be 2 years that I started learning with an instructor. I think I'm sticking with it. You know, but it's very fulfilling to play that, to be like, my fingers are hitting these strings under tension and a melody is happening.
I think I need to get a cello teacher. I need to get a cello instructor because like, I think that's the only way that with my ADHD that I'm actually going to stick enough that like I'll make decent progress. Cause I mean, I've been teaching myself.
Self-teaching, like, you can't correct yourself like an instructor can. Yeah. I needed that hands-on, nope. This do this like
yeah, and I already know that like I'm gonna have to go into it and rewrite a lot of like old bad habits because like I self-taught myself enough to be like functional and in tune backing a choir up, which was fine, but you know what I mean.
But you were covered by a choir if you either had to let off exactly. Or made a mistake,
and because since I'm playing a part and not as a solo instrument, right. That you know all I had to do is bass lines. Yeah.
Play
Canon and D. All I had to remember was 8 notes.
Yeah, and then I learned how to play Canon and D on the computer, which was weird. Or the computer, the guitar.
F sharp.
I'd say I learned how to play it on the computer. Okay.
It's like that guy's the guitarist joke. We played those 8 notes 57 times. I counted because I had nothing else to do. Because he used to be a cello.
It only sounds really good as a symphony because there's so many, there's so much depth of
the instruments. And that kind of goes back to me. Remember how I was always saying, like, I like to be the middle cog? Like, I think that's why that was so fun for me. Like, I liked being a tenor in choir because I was just, like, yeah, I'm not responsible for most of the voice, but I'm also not responsible for most of the mistakes either. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's fun.
I'm sad this doesn't have effects to put on echoes right now. We would do the freaking...
I tried the drums once. That was crazy. Oh, yeah. That's my other instrument that I want to play more, but I ended up selling my electric
drum set. Yeah, you had the electric drum set, but I guess now I know why you don't.
Yeah.
You weren't playing it anymore. Yeah. All right, moving on to the FTFA. This is where we answer your short questions that you can write to us at rtfm@jstusense.com. FTFA stands for From the Freaking Audience. So if you have a question you think will be fun for us to answer and we'll add to some discussion, go ahead and email us. Now, I do have one question in this list that is a tech question, which I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'll do one.
Wow.
That's going to suck. So I'm going to have, I'm gonna have 5,600 of them now in the inbox coming up. All right.
So everyone delete the last 10 seconds of audio from your head.
So Matt says, self-explanatory, subject says it all. And basically it is, what did you do for breakfast?
Breakfast.
He typoed it. If you had one, what's your favorite breakfast food?
All of breakfast foods. Breakfast
edibles? No, not. I meant edible food, not edibles.
I was about to say, dude.
Chase changed.
Yeah. I had half a gram for breakfast. Dude, you know those giant gummy bears? Imagine that.
Oh, my. No.
Jay's going to have a nightmare of a giant gummy bear attacking him.
That was a one and done, my friend.
No, I just love breakfast because so much stuff is fried and sweet and savory. Even across the world, except for like British breakfast.
I feel like my answer is dependent. Am I on one of my diets or not on one of my diets? So like right now, because I'm preparing for my surgery, I'm on a very clean eating kick right now at the moment. But I got to shrink my liver. But like right now, I've just been eating straight up fried egg white bites, like from Starbucks.
Yeah,
literally, I buy a bunch of them, like 4 to 6 sometimes in the morning. Mm-hmm. High protein.
You got me hooked on those when you gave me
that. They're good, right?
Yeah, they're bomb.
Yeah, they're really good.
They have some frozen ones out too. Like Jimmy Dean does that stuff. They actually have a sausage sandwich where the patties are.
YouTube how to do it, but I need to get a sous vide.
The thing is, I wouldn't normally eat breakfast. The problem, like if I'm being unhealthy, honestly, it's because I go to Starbucks pretty much every morning and just get an oat milk latte because I don't drink dairy milk anymore. I don't put all the sugared syrups and crap in there anymore. It's just oat milk and coffee, right? So I would often get like a bacon gouda or something with it, which is not terrible, but it's not great for you either. The thing is, I'm not a pancake person. I'm not a waffle person. I'm not a fried foods person. So like breakfast to me is really just like, give me a good egg white, turkey, mushroom, tomato, Swiss omelet, and I'm happy. You know what I mean?
Like spinach. I'm an all of above person.
Like, I know.
I'll do it all. But like at home, I usually just default to making a breakfast burrito or an omelet. It just depends on what the mood.
Yeah, if I'm at home, I'll put like 4 eggs in a bowl and whisk it up and put some like breakfast sausage, maybe a little bit of cheese in there. Just make myself a freaking heaping plate of eggs, you know.
But so the cholesterol. It's kind of a crappy picture of it. But so Filipino breakfast, longanisa is like a sweet but mostly savory kind of a big sausage that they make. Mm-hmm. And tocino is...
That looks like...
It's sweetened.
Someone got disemboweled.
It's sweetened cured pork belly.
Okay, so there we go.
Garlic fried rice and then fried egg.
So it's literally pork belly, which is almost like,
I was joking,
like
there's
chunks
nothing,
of bacon.
There's nothing in Philippine cuisine that's healthy. Like literally, there's not a single thing I can think of that would be like a healthy or light meal in Filipino cuisine.
That's going to taste good.
I love Filipino breakfast so much. Yeah.
Sterling says, "Hey Jay and gang, I won a 4070 FE from NVIDIA directly. Congratulations, first of all."
Or spam and rice.
He says, I have a Zotac 2770 currently with an Intel 8700K and 16 gigabytes of RAM. I thought that it was a great balance, but now with the 4070 FE coming, how bad is the CPU bottleneck going to be? What would be a comparable Intel system now to what I currently have? You are going to have bottleneck galore for sure. We had an 8700K as a test rig for a while until we realized like the 3080 was being bottlenecked by it. And you know, a 4080... or 4070 is more like a 3080 Ti. So you're bottlenecking significantly. I don't think you need to drastically upgrade your system if you want to alleviate the CPU bottleneck. Like maybe like a 10700K would be fine. 11700, something like that. But you don't need to break your bank on like 13th gen or whatever, unless you just want to. Because it sounds like now you've got a problem where you're going to be, if you don't go to the latest gen, you're going to be leapfrogging generations on GPU CPU as you upgrade, as you go forward,
which is
fine.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Unless you just want to be in the same page.
Yeah,
but what do you think, like a 12700K?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Or maybe, I mean, a modern one is so fast now, maybe it's, you could even step down a tier to like
13600.
Yeah,
it'd be fine. Especially at 13600, I'd have to assume,
was the one with the big IPC jump recently, was it 12 to 13 or was it 10 to 12?
10 to 12.
10 to 12.
No,
had
no,
a jump.
I'm sorry. 11 to 12
had a jump.
Was a huge jump.
Yeah.
But mostly because of the fact that it was finally the smaller process
right.
than 11th and 10th. And then obviously the introduction of E cores, just overall performance.
What gen was that? 12?
Yeah. E core started with 12.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The Z690 series.
Phil said Rice's, or somebody said Phil Rice's life. Yes.
So this, yes. So this next question is for both of you. They didn't have one for me from Bjorn. First, Phil, how do you
file?
How
that's
do you
first?
That's fine. How do you do file management with all the video productions?
There's a tool.
We have a server.
We have a server. Yeah. There's a tool called
T-H-E-R-V-R, server.
It's called Advanced Renamer, which is the most generic. Like
I was too stupid to learn how to use it. I kept screwing up the files.
Yeah, and you can screw up a lot of files with one click if you use that thing wrong. Yep. But that thing battery names files for me. So what I do is I take the footage from the camera, all those files, and then I rename them to our own internal structure that tells us what date we shot it on and usually what project it is at a glance. So we don't even have to like actually open the footage to see what it was.
My file structure was untitled one.
Yeah,
untitled one, two. Or untitled one bracket because it would auto do it.
That was why I implemented my scheme.
When Phil first started, he saw my file structure on my like, I had a little like NAS. He was just like, oh my God.
No, because when we were first starting, like, it was more of an editing team between us because you were doing like the transition for me going to full time editor, and so like there are a lot of times where we had to collaborate on a project, and Jay just freaking sends you a file that's like untitled_1_2.prod, and then I'm like, Jay, it says it's missing a file. He's like, what's the file called? 0001.jpg. Great. We have no idea what file that is. Right?
Oh no!
So you have to understand, Phil is a professional editor.
That's so weird to me to say, but yeah.
I was somebody who managed to get by. There was a transition period.
No, the thing that's the funniest to me is the reason I laughed with Jay and not at Jay with that is because yeah, that was also me when I first started editing.
Until you probably had enough like and then just finally were like, I need a system. And
dude, yeah, because I had to pull the footage from the DV tape, right? And so it just spits out like one
file,
1.mov, 2.mov for every cut that you do on the button. And then, you were super had to name your stuff. Otherwise, you would just get confused.
Honestly, it's just shot logging. Like, I can tell you right now, I know Linus's team years ago when I was hanging out with him for the Scrapyard Wars I was on. It was either Scrapyard Wars or when you were with me and we went to dinner or to Computex.
Oh, Computex.
We went to lunch with him. No, it was Scrapyard Wars for sure. Because I know Edsel was producer on Scrapyard Wars, and he was mirroring us. Like, Luke and I were a team, and then Brandon was our cameraman. And then for a while there, Edsel would mirror, like, just hang out with us kind of behind the scenes as a producer, and then would go to the other teams, et cetera, et cetera. But I remember every single time they were done shooting, even for a moment, if we were like, okay, we're stopping for a little bit, Brandon would take out the SD card or whatever from the red. They have the red. Hand it to Edsel, and Edsel would start shot logging.
Yeah.
Basically, which is where every single one of those clips follows a certain naming structure for that particular day at that shoot at that time with Luke and I. It was very structured, very much how like a movie would be.
Yeah, that's totally
best practices. And I was shocked at the level of detail they went through and every time there was downtime, they were swapping card, because they're just ingesting that data as fast, because they're hours upon hours upon hours of footage to do a Scrapyard War series.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I could see why that's important. Because imagine you have 4 days of footage, 4 days of literally 8 hours a day of footage. That's a lot. And Brandon
had multiple cameras and multiple audio and all.
Right. Yeah. And Brandon so had much, and Brandon had the, what's the rig thing that hang over the cable?
Oh, the Easy Rig.
The Easy Rig. Yeah. He had an Easy Rig. And basically that camera just running, just nonstop going. Because if something happened, he wanted to catch it. So anyway, and then the question for Nick was, how do you keep the stock and logistics of having a miniature warehouse of PC parts nice and orderly?
That's my secret, Kenton.
No comment. I'll let Jay in.
I'll be honest. It was that part of the question that made me put it in here, but I don't want to cut off Phil's.
I feel like you put that in there. No, but... Like, it started with structure, but eventually it's, like, to a point of, okay, most of the components that I need easy to reach are going to be closer to us. So, like, in our first row, easy access is going to be CPUs, RAM, hard drive, just, like, the easy stuff to put a build together along with our, what do you call it, graphics cards. And then our next row over is going to be our motherboards. I have a weird structure. But
so you don't have like a Ryzen 1700X on the front of an aisle?
No.
Because that makes no sense.
Well, it's funny because Nick will put a lot of effort into organizing it. But then what inevitably happens is last year we had the purge. Yeah. Where we got rid of literally a truckload of parts at the
and then I was like, there's so much room, I could organize things, and then things are organized.
Immediately truckloads of parts start coming in, because as the industry picked back up, production was catching up and stuff was available. Guess what? It starts making its way to the reviewers, and then here we are with a ton of stuff again. And then Hurricane Jay comes through during a build. And you know what? I don't feel bad about it, because I'll be honest, whenever I hung out at Linus's studio, just hanging out with his team and talking with them, I would hear them bitch and complain, like, God, Linus didn't put this back in the box again, or this is missing brackets, or the hard drives are missing from this.
At least I have someone to talk to. I'm just yelling. I just sound crazy to myself, like, in the back there.
We gotta check the camera footage. Yeah. He's just all the
can we just have a hot mic on him all the time? Yeah. It's just going to like a Zoom recorder so we can catch when Nick go out there and
I wish we could have a hot mic on Nick all the time, because I missed the one time when he was like, I want pizza, just completely randomly outside.
Yeah, so it was a vlog, and Nick had the mic on for something. I remember what we were doing.
Nick's
but
internal monologue is external when he thinks
it was,
he's alone.
It was summertime, yeah. And it was hot, but he walks out to his car
to get
and he's got
his jacket away, or
and he's got the lav mic on. So Phil goes to the front door and he's shooting through the glass at Nick. You see,
because Jay was gonna scare him when he came.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, I was gonna. He was gonna film. I was gonna be like, boo, as he came through the door and scare him. So he's walking back from his car and he's like, now we have privacy glass, so you can't really see through it, and it's a reflection. So he walks up to it and he's like,
the door. He's in front of the door. Yeah.
And I'm thinking he's going to open it. And he stops. He's using it as a mirror. And he's like, I want pizza. And then he was like, it's hot as fuck. And then
literally just, it was like I was literally just listening to
But you were hearing, as he's walking to the car and back, you hear, it was just like, you hear,
like if I could put it on speakerphone somehow on the camera, I would have, so Jake and I heard. I was like,
it was
Nick
great.
Is literally internal.
I couldn't hear any of it. I could just see Nick, but he's giggling like, oh my God, you should hear what I'm hearing right now.
I wish I was rolling on that.
He's like, I want pizza.
Just the, yeah.
Say it right now. I want pizza.
I want pizza.
Yeah.
You're like excited though.
Like, pizza sounds bomb. Yeah. What was it? I also internal monologued when we did the Audi video, because like he tried having B-roll.
Oh yeah, yeah, in the TTRS. And I remember, you're right. Yeah, because the on-camera mic was on.
Oh, I didn't check that.
So you would hear like, no, then you'd hear in the distance, oh, here he comes. And he's got the tripod.
Oh my God.
You hear, get it.
I definitely didn't check the scratch audio track then. Dang, I should have.
It was great. Oh, and then you would hear like, and I think we're done. Nope, he's going again.
Jeff wants pizza now. Look what you did.
Yeah, the discussion
too. So we're both in pain right now.
I want pizza. Yeah,
shut up. I'm on a diet. Okay.
Jay, your secret is pizza days, pizza Fridays.
So your secret is there is no system.
They start in zones. Like if it basically it becomes zones, because when I have to make room for more stuff for like say the motherboards, everything gets moved around.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I just got to keep things in our general area where I remember they're easy to reach, instead of like,
so our warehouse is half the size it used to be now, but I feel like I need to get the giant orange shelves. And then literally a cherry picker that just goes 4 feet,
or then up and
yeah.
back.
Yeah. But that's expensive.
You can do the library ladder, but that's...
I was going to say the library ladder the loft.
It's up to Jay, because that's going to be the OSHA incident. If there's going to be any
OSHA,
incident,
it'll okay?
definitely be like the Nick's trying to get a 4090 off the top shelf for some reason. I don't know why.
No, because the 4090 should be on the bottom.
I know, but I'm saying...
Past job experience tells me to put the heavy objects on the bottom.
Yeah,
yeah, we don't want the rack collapsing under the weight of a Strix.
Why did we have all the so many cases up top before? Was it literally just because we ran out of room?
Because the bottom rack was set low enough to where they wouldn't slide under.
Oh. Yeah.
That's why when we readjusted the racks, he put them higher.
Yeah, I was always glad in the old studio whenever you had me or Nick grab a case, because it was always Nick, because I can't reach. I could not reach the cases at all.
All right, so this one comes from Sam, the hockey ref again. Ref, you suck. Ref, you suck. All right, sorry. Anyway, with how far AI has come recently, especially with the music scene of almost perfectly replicating artists' voices or vocals, what other implications do y'all see with the horizon of AI?
We're kind of already seeing it already with the Writers Guild, right?
Kinda, yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, I haven't followed the Writers Guild directly on what their beef is, but deepfakes was an interesting. That was where it kind of started. But you know what? AI is never going to really be able to... Okay, I'm not going to say never. It's probably a bad idea.
I feel like eventually it will. Yeah, but I'm on the same track as you.
It's never going to give us originality.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a flattering copy.
Yeah, what are the implications of the dollar store figurine of, like, Defenders of the Universe to Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Like, they still sell them. They still sell a bunch of them, but, like, it doesn't do anything.
It's the reason why they said there will always be human pilots in fighter jets, because a machine does not have intuition.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yet.
I can't say never, because I'm telling you right now, we live in a world that people believe would never be possible. Our everyday world.
I keep flashing back to, like, the meme of an AI writes a script for an Olive Garden commercial.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen this. I'll have to look that up.
I can't wait. Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that'll be funny if these studios actually try it. If they actually go, look, fine, we don't need writers, we'll just use ChatGPT to come up with stuff.
If you use AI to create or recreate a likeness of an actor or an artist, do you pay that actor or artist royalties for their likeness?
And that is the big problem.
Right.
There aren't any laws yet. But, I mean, yeah, if you want to ask me on gut feeling, yeah, I feel like you should. If you're using, obviously it's impossible to, like, not impossible, but it's very difficult to legislate, because how do you draw the line of, like, oh, this is enough, like, Jay, that now using
10% different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know what I mean? Like, what if I make a Jay AI that's only 49% Jay? Do I still have to pay Jay for his likeness? You know what I mean?
49% of it.
How much of the script is I digress?
Like, oh my God. You turn the J slider all the way 100.
I don't know if it's possible, but I want to see someone, like, use AI to be like, create a Jay's 2 cents video. I want to see what the AI does. Just learn. See, we all find that funny right now when we do that, but I feel like.
Yeah, because it's dumb right now.
But yeah. It's like ChatGPT and all that stuff. The more you input funny things into it, the more you're actually making it learn.
Yeah.
When does it become the Shodan from System Shock 2?
That AI? Intuition circuits on the 7090 are amazing.
The intuition circuits?
Yeah. No, yeah, because it makes sense, because 12th gen and 13th gen Intel already has neural net accelerators on them. Like, they come free with every processor. It's just you have to go in the BIOS and turn it on. But yeah, in case anyone was wondering what their GNA feature in their BIOS is, yes, that's an AI accelerator on your Intel processor.
It just can't really do much. It requires applications to specifically. Yeah,
it's for the developers of this AI stuff that are working on it. It accelerates the compilation and stuff of the speech models and stuff.
Someone in chat says, do impersonators have to pay royalty? If you mimic someone's voice, do you have to pay them royalties? If you just look like someone else, do you have to pay them royalties? See, that's a good comment, because
that goes down
the rabbit hole of, like, okay, those people that are out in the Vegas Strip dressed up like Spider-Man or drunk Mickey Mouse, do you owe Disney and do you owe Sony/Marvel royalties for using their likeness? I guess if you're making money on it, technically yes, but that's such a small scale. Mm. They're not gonna come after you. But the thing is, if you put out a freaking
video
AAA game title using a fake voice that sounded like Keanu Reeves, let's say Cyberpunk, you were able to AI mimic Keanu Reeves' voice, and then you create a game likeness that looks like him, like exactly like it is in the game now, but it's not him voicing it.
This has already happened. I wonder, spoiler alert for Mandalorian season 1, I think. Yeah. Anyway, that happened at the end of the season when Luke shows up, right? And
young Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they deepfaked young
Mark Hamill, and they also AI'd his voice for the lines that he says. And so I wonder if he got paid for that.
If he was involved in that.
Yeah. I mean, he's, because that's the thing. He's like, unlike Carrie Fisher, he's still alive. Yeah. So, like, I never actually bothered to see if he got paid or if he was involved at all.
Well,
in it.
I
know he was on
Favreau,
set.
But Favreau.
He was on set. Like Mark Hamill was involved with the production, for sure.
Favreau, I feel like would do it by the book.
Yeah.
I really do. And so I have to imagine Mark Hamill was given likeness fees.
It's only in my mind recently because recently they had released the BTS pictures of the actor underneath the deepfake for those scenes. And the funny thing was, like, he looks pretty much almost exactly like a young Mark Hamill. So everyone was like, What the? Why didn't you just let him play Luke? Like, you did it for freaking
because
Han Solo.
Looking like young Mark Hamill and recreating young Mark Hamill are not the same thing.
They made a whole movie called Solo that was an actor that was different from Harrison Ford that did young Han Solo.
Yeah, but Solo was completely different production team, very much lower budget even than Mandalorian had for its
oh, really?
Series.
Really?
Yeah, Mandalorian
lower budget.
Mandalorian has an insane budget.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like,
huh?
I kind of feel like. I never watched Solo, honestly.
I did, and I didn't have an issue with the actor. In fact, I liked that they didn't try to do any weird. I mean, I feel like with the content of that movie and the amount of action scenes, it would have been ridiculous to try to deepfake the whole movie. But
probably from just a logistics standpoint. I'll be honest, I'm the opposite of you. I have not watched Solo because I could not get over the fact that it's not Harrison Ford.
It's not Harrison Ford, yeah. I thought that was going to be an issue at first, too, but like...
However, on the most recent Indiana Jones movie...
Yeah.
70-year-old Harrison Ford was actually agile enough to body act a action scene that they superimposed young Harrison Ford's face on.
Oh, it was like a flashback or something.
Yeah. But it came up in an article like, hey, was that a body double? And it was like, that was actually Harrison Ford. He was agile enough to be able to do that scene.
Yeah, people were saying that Mark Hamill was the body double in Mandalorian. No, he was not because his body is not the same anymore as young Luke. Wow. So, yeah, no, he was not the body double. He was on set for consultation and stuff and, like, obviously to coach the actor, like, how do you play young me, right? Because I feel like that's always the best option is, like, if you're going to have somebody double in, have the original actor there. Yeah. Because they're going to have...
If possible.
They're going to have such awesome insight. Like, even for, like, Star Trek 09, like, they had... what's her face? Nichelle Nichols, for Uhura, talking to Zoe Saldana. Like Zoe just sat down and they were like, "Hey, let's just talk for an hour. Like, how was it? Like, what was the things? You know what I mean? How do you see this character? And like, you know, what are their motivations? All that sort of stuff. Because and that's why she nailed Uhura in that movie. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit more lenient than the average person with like cast changes and stuff because I thought the entire cast of Star Trek 09 was awesome.
Yeah, it's like. So many people, ever since Disney bought the rights to Star Wars, have hated the story. And it's like, I'm the opposite. I'm like, you know what? If it's good eye candy, good action scenes, and I'm entertained, I don't care if the lore matches up or not. Yeah. But if the actors are bad and they don't match what I'm expecting, then I can't watch the movie. So I'm so the opposite of you.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of the opposite, and I don't know how that ties in, it's opposite of the start of the show.
Yeah, it's
now the end of the show. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Again, like I said, I got surgery on May 22nd. That's 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, whatever it is. We'll keep the show going in some capacity and somehow even while that's going on. Hopefully, I'll be well enough by the time the first show rolls around to be on here. But anyway, email us at ftfa@jays2cents.com if you want to get your question potentially featured. Hope everyone has a great weekend. And I'm now extending my dialogue because the music is still going and I don't remember it being this long. Normally, we just are talking, and it's called a bumper, right?
Did you hit the intro or the outro? Oh, wait. Oh, is there?
It's only one button.
Oh,
it's done now.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
So dumb.